93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday. It is December 21st. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, with what's supposed to be a busy holiday traffic day, you now add flooding to that. The roadways are clogging up with commuters, shoppers, and travelers combined, and the flooding will just add longer delays than expected. AAA is expecting 2 to 3 times the traffic we normally see, and they're saying up to 4 times as much traffic today.
Really?
Yep.
The lines thing sucks.
The lines at Philadelphia International Airport are getting longer as the busy holiday travel begins, and that's starting this morning. The security director for the TSA in Philadelphia, Gary Renfro, said they typically screen about 30,000 people a day, but Thursday, Friday, and next Wednesday, they'll see about 40,000 people come through. Mm. The TSA also recommends if you're bringing gifts, don't wrap them, but I didn't quite hear why.
Well,
I guess it's just
if they're
easier.
Checking the bags, yeah. They may have to unwrap the gifts.
Right.
So if you can wrap them on the other side, it's probably better to your...
Review the normal rules and guidelines so that you don't hold up the security lines at the airport. Liquids are not permitted in your carry-on. Governor Tom Wolf also put out a notice about possible flooding, especially on the roadways that, of course, can cause delays in the skies and also cancellations. Two workers at a local facility that treat people with disabilities were arrested. They're accused of watching two kids fight without stopping it, and one worker is even accused of encouraging the violent behavior.
What the hell is it with this stuff?
This is bizarre. The alleged incident took place at the Devereaux Counter Center in West Whiteland Township in Chester County. Arrested and charged in the case was 25-year-old Anthony Merrick of Coatesville and 24-year-old Rain Portella of Glenside. Exton police said surveillance video shows Merrick actually lining up the two 13-year-old boys, one with developmental disabilities, in a quasi-boxing ring and encouraging them to hit each other. The Exton police said that children were placed head-to-head facing each other and kind of tapped gloves to start fighting. He said you could see blood coming from one of the children.
Ridiculous.
Yep. Police say the video shows one of the staff members recording the fight on his cell phone. Investigators said that staff member later shared the video with other staff members on Snapchat. Officials said they only learned about the incident because one of the fathers reported it. They say the staffers never reported the incident as required by law. Not only did they not report it, but they were also encouraging it, said the police. They had a duty to protect these children, and they are not just children. They are children with developmental disabilities.
Nobody said, dude, you can't do that.
Not one person.
You can't.
Awful.
Yeah. Not
yeah.
one person.
Like
it's
their
so
own
sad.
Conscience.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Conscience.
Conscience. Yes.
Ugh. Couldn't say, hey, hang on a second. Let me think.
What are we doing?
What are we doing here?
Yeah. Supposed to do that with bums.
No.
Remember bum fights?
Yes.
That was all the rage for a while.
Evil people.
Jesus.
People.
Well, and listen to this story. Friggin' people is right. Okay. A Lehigh University student has been arrested after authorities say he had been trying to kill his roommate for months.
Huh.
Prosecutors announced Thursday that 22-year-old Yukai Yang will be charged with attempted homicide and related offenses. It was inside the Lehigh University dorm where police say the student from China developed a murder plot and carried it out, trying to discreetly and slowly kill his roommate. Authorities say Yang, a chemistry major, sickened his roommate with thallium and possibly other chemicals last spring.
How diabolical.
Juwan Royal experienced symptoms that included dizziness, shaking, and vomiting, and his blood tested positive for thallium. This was over a period of time with small amounts of poisoning occurring, said the Northampton County District Attorney John Morganelli. It was added to food and drinks in the refrigerator. The DA says Yang poured it in his longtime roommate's milk and mouthwash.
You know, if you talk to your RA, you might be able to get a new roommate.
Yeah.
Move on to somewhere
else. Or kill
else. Him. Or I guess you
or
could just do a slowly
him.
Poisoning plot.
I'm sorry.
Him.
I don't get along with our RA.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. They said the victim is still experiencing physical symptoms from the poisoning that occurred. Yang was arrested and faces many charges, including attempted homicide and ethnic intimidation. Royal is still experiencing these side effects from the chemicals while trying to make a recovery. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Carter Hart made 31 saves for his second straight win in his second NHL start, and the Flyers beat the Nashville Predators. 2-1 last night at the center. Claude Giroux and Jake Voracek scored for the Flyers, who won their second straight game since interim coach Scott Gordon replaced Dave Hackstall. The 20-year-old Hart, who made 20 saves in the win over Detroit, was even better last night against Nashville. Hart made two big saves to help kill off the Predators' 5-on-3 power play late in the second period and stopped all of the 13 shots he faced in the third.
The kid's legit.
The Flyers are at home again tomorrow with a game against the Columbus Blue Jackets. The puck drops at 1 o'clock. The Sixers are at home tomorrow night with a game against the Toronto Raptors, the best team in the NBA. The Sixers are 21-12 and in third place in the Eastern Conference, three games back of the Raptors, who are 24-9. Tip-off for the nationally televised game is at 7:30. Eagles defensive end Chris Long has built a shrine in his locker room for quarterback Nick Foles. There is a framed picture of Foles from his days with the St. Louis Rams, a personalized copy of Foles' book, Believe It, and some religious candles to complete the effect. The team's playoff hopes are at stake this Sunday in a home game against the 10-4 Houston Texans. Kickoff at the Link is at 1 o'clock, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Barn door!
I see your shirt. You got to take a picture of your shirt and get it out.
I will.
What's your shirt?
It says Barn Door.
I had it special made for days like this. It says Barn Door Yippee. And it's got a little skipping cow on it.
From Bill.
Yeah, Bill.
Bill was the big proponent of the Barn Door concept.
Yes, as you head towards your vacation, there's or even the weekend, it's called the Barn Door. And
It's like low-hanging fruit, third leg of the stool, the whole damn thing.
The animals
or
in the barn.
Or is this a Jewish thing?
When you open the barn door, they go running out.
But he kind of insinuates that that we don't do our job properly as a result.
No, no, no. He's telling a cautionary tale about phoning it in as you're waiting to go out. The way we phoned it in yesterday.
Yeah. No, he's right. That's what the whole, I guess, I don't know, idiom, is that what you would call this thing?
Yeah.
Is that you're shirking your details or your duties.
I'm sorry, what do you say?
I know you weren't paying attention.
Never mind. Door, yeah.
We've got the holidays, actually, Christmas next week and everything. There's a lot of people feeling this way. A lot of people headed to the airport ready to get out of town and do their traveling.
Lines at the airport are already building.
Right. And so I assume that a lot of people will be taking today as travel to get to where they're going for the weekend, and then you have Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday being Christmas. So I always love when Christmas falls earlier in the time off because Preston, you're going to have your guitar.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Santa told me not to tell you.
Yeah.
But so you'll have a whole bunch of time to play with that.
Yep. So everybody, I think, has a little sense of excitement.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we have a couple of things going on the program today. We are going to have the Lucas Brothers, who are going to be performing tonight and Saturday at Helium Comedy Club. So they will stop in this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. So say hi to them. We have a meet and eat today. Our friends from Boston Market are stopping by. Boston Market. Okay, I have a list just in case you don't feel the need to cook on Christmas Day.
Yes,
Boston Market's one of those places that's open on Christmas Day.
Isn't that wild?
I believe so. I have a list of 10 restaurants that are actually open and working on Christmas Day. So maybe we're going to do all our Christmas list stuff today and get it out of the way.
Boston Market's always been one of my go-tos.
Yeah. I love that place. So they're stopping in today, and I'll find out if we have some meet and greet, giveaways, and it looks like we do. So we'll have a chance to win some stuff again this morning. We didn't give everything away yesterday.
No, we did not.
Whatever we have to give away before the end of the year, we will do this morning. So winning, yesterday with the Christmas miracle, it was crazy over the top, but we still got more to go.
To paraphrase a great artist, everything we give it to you.
Oh, thank you. Little Brian Adams love. So Casey's looking through the stuff that we have as far as giveaways.
So much stuff.
All right, then give me something now. Let's give away some beer, and you know what? I'll give away all of these. Well, no, I can only give one at a time, right, Case?
Yeah.
All right, so Yards Variety Pack. Caller number 10 at 215-263-WMMR. The holidays, of course, a great time to get together with family and friends this year. Bring cheer, bring beer, and bring Yards Variety Pack. Find Yards at Goshen Beverage in Westchester. So caller 10 will give you a case of that, 215-263-WMMR. Let's take a break because we have a lot to do today. Coming back in a moment with the entertainment portion of the program, and we'll find out all about the celebs, and we'll have a stupid question, and we'll just have a good time.
Yes.
So hang in there. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, what's up? It's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Jack Frost and Big Boulder ski areas are officially open for the season. And WMMR's Day Up on the Slopes with Pierre and Jackson is January 4th. Tickets are available now at WMMR.com while supplies last. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer. Free shipping both ways, making return and exchanges easy. Visit him online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, gang, this holiday season, your special someone is going to unwrap and unwind if you get him a gift card from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. And there's a special offer. You can save $10 on spa gift cards at regular pricing. Or you can buy a holiday spa package and you get a free massage or facial gift card with that. Go to handandstone.com today for all the information.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hey, I saw that we have a new Daily Rush video that's up. I watched it, I think it was yesterday or the day before. And I watched it over and over. It's the weird British Christmas is what it's called. And apparently there's a tradition where before the Christmas meal, you have to be weighed.
Right. Oh, yes.
And then you eat, and then afterwards they weigh you again to see how much weight you gained. But they also, everyone wears paper hats, and Steve, you went on as if you're a member of the aristocracy saying, look at us wearing our paper hats. This is so much fun.
Wearing our paper hats.
And then
was that the one that has the ditch for killing peasants?
Yes, eventually, you know, let's throw some peasants in a ditch and kill them. But the one who catches your paper hat is spared.
Oh, there you go. I love that tradition.
And that's what's
like sparing a turkey.
That's what the Christmas spirit is all about.
But exactly.
If you would like to see this video, it is now. I watched it over and over. Meghan Markle's first Christmas as a royal will introduce her. Some odd English traditions is with the description of it. Watch it now at PresidentSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly Fish Town's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar, the Daily Rush videos. You know what? In fact, gather the whole family around and watch the weekly Rush videos on Comcast, if you will, holiday season.
That's becoming, well, I'm so glad when you go onto events and people say they're watching the weekly Rush and the Daily Rush and they're getting a great deal of enjoyment out of them because a lot of work goes into them. A lot of times, Nick Murphy and his crew there, they'll slap in little Easter eggs and things that are a lot of fun to see.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so today's stupid question, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see John Oliver on New Year's Eve at the Met. 10 p.m. is the show. Here is the question for you. What city were Kevin McAllister's parents traveling to in the first Home Alone story? 215-263-WMMR. What city were Kevin McAllister's parents traveling to? Actually, the whole family, 215-263-WMMR. Call right now, and let's see if you know the answer. So I'll go through some birthdays as we do while we're waiting for your answer. Friday, December 21st, birthdays include Brett Scallions, Fuel, ex-lead singer of Fuel. He's 47.
Is he ex again?
I don't know. I've not been keeping
track. Back and forth at that dude.
Of Fuel. Kiefer Sutherland has his birthday today.
Big Kiefer fan.
Is this right? Is he only 52?
I'm finding it hard to believe that.
Maybe he says he's 52.
I think he's older than that.
Yeah.
I don't know. He looks older than that.
If you go back to, let's say, Stand By Me, where he had your contemporaries, like for me.
Yeah.
Will Wheaton and all those guys were kind of around the same age.
You think it's valid?
I think it might be valid,
right,
man.
Let's do a quick search.
He was the older brother.
Look up his date of birth on here. Oh, you know what? I think IMDb. Didn't they quit putting date of birth?
No, they got it. Yeah.
Okay.
66.
So 66, all right.
Yeah, 52. He was born in England. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. Okay. Happy birthday, Kiefer Sutherland. It's also Ray Romano's birthday. Yeah. Ray Romano is 61 years old today.
The Ice Age movie was on yesterday, and he's really good in that. There's like Manny. 15 of them now.
Yeah. Samuel L. Jackson.
Ooh.
And a big one for him today. He is 70 years old.
Man.
Does not look 70.
Perfect example of black don't crack.
I agree, man.
He looks like he does in Coming Home.
What a great actor. The first thing that I remember seeing him in is in Coming to America.
Yeah.
There's the dude who robs the McDowell's restaurant.
Coming to America. He's hilarious. He has like a 5-minute scene where he's just robbing the place. What did you see him in after that? Do you remember?
The next thing I remember
like
is Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, it seems to be a big chunk of time, doesn't it?
I just remember Pulp Fiction. I had a friend of mine who I remember telling him about seeing that movie. I'm like, dude, you got to see this guy in this movie. He is one of the most badasses I've ever seen.
Right now, Yolanda!
Yeah.
What about Goodfellas?
Is he in Goodfellas?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Slacks.
He gets shot.
It has been so long since I've seen that movie. I don't remember him in that.
Goodfellas predates Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, okay. And also Jurassic Park.
That's right.
Loses his arm.
Yeah.
Kathy introduced me to a cool photo app the other day, and so I've been trying to organize all my digital photos, and I found some, Kathy, from Shamaween.
God, I'm so excited.
With Sam Jackson up on stage dressed like a priest, and you were up on stage as well. And just, it was such a special moment.
Yeah, I got to meet him one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were. That was one of the questions that could have come up in the Christmas miracle yesterday, but I didn't pull it out of the barrel.
I tried to get
Kathy was running the evening, and it worked out well.
I tried to get Knight to record it, but I guess he's working on a movie or something.
I think he's doing something.
This is a tasty burger.
So happy birthday to Samuel L. Jackson, a big 70 years old. Next, we'll see him in Captain Marvel.
Yes,
Jane Fonda celebrates her 81st birthday today. Some great movies over the years. We have some fun with On Golden Pond from time to time.
Our little girl's growing up.
That's right.
9 to 5, I love.
It was a fun movie. And
yes, you know, I do M&Ms and everything.
Yeah, that's right.
For S&M.
And you want to see her at her hottest, Barbarella.
Barbarella.
Sexy, sexy, sexy in that movie. And it's a kitschy, goofy, fun movie.
And it was directed by her husband at the time. I think Roger Vadim, right?
No kidding. I'm not sure. She's 81. Phil Donahue is 83, former talk show host, husband of Marlo Thomas.
Oprah basically owes her career to what Phil Donahue started, that afternoon talk show.
Yeah.
And Oprah's the first to admit it.
And she kind of ran that type of format.
She did, and ran it better. Yeah. Yeah.
Andy Dick. Andy Dick is 53 today, and we've seen him up close and smelled him up close a couple of times.
Super talented guy, but troubled.
Yep. He's had some issues over the years.
He was nice when he was in here.
Yes,
his armpits just smelled like hell.
Yep. Stephen Ewan from The Walking Dead, Glenn. The Walking Dead. One of the standout characters, obviously. And, if you haven't watched it, he's not on there anymore.
He's not on there. Figure out what happened.
He walked away.
He was great on that show. And I saw him in a movie not that long ago. And I didn't watch the whole film, but he was great in that, too. I thought maybe, he'd be just pigeonholed to this character, but he's a good actor.
Well, you remember, it's the great thing about The Walking Dead and the way it started. You had him. He was basically this goofy, I think he was like a delivery kid.
He was a pizza delivery guy.
And became an integral, brave character in this group.
Yeah. Press, are you caught up or no?
Yeah, I am. So okay. We can talk.
We can talk.
Yep. After the show, we'll do that. Appreciate or during that. Commercial break. All right, so Glenn, or Stephen Ewan, is 35 today. And then two birthdays. I want to wish a happy birthday to my sister, Angie.
Hey! Angie!
So she celebrates her birthday today. So I'll be
Angie!
Giving her a call later on. Oh, my God. I used to sing that song to her.
Oh, really?
In a joking manner. I used to, because of the way Mick says it.
Angie. Angie.
And it used to
be beautiful.
Used to be a joke between us. So,
yo, beautiful.
Yes, that's right. So, happy birthday to Angela, and also Chuck D'Amico.
Hey!
Chuck
today.
Chuck's birthday today. Oh yes, Chuck loves Triumph. Chuck and I both love Triumph. Steve loves Triumph.
Was that to Chuck D'Amico?
Yeah,
we're gonna spike a little Triumph today.
Yes.
All right.
I love it.
You have a hairy back.
The hairiest back we've ever seen.
And he wears it proudly.
Yes, he does.
My favorite is it's the old sweater joke. Why are you wearing a sweater?
Like it's still okay if you look like Chuck.
It's a sign of virility.
Well, when we were in Jamaica, instead of singing Everybody Wang Chung tonight, we were saying Everybody Wax Chuck tonight. Because we were going to wax his back.
Everybody Wax Chuck tonight.
Do we know what number this is for Chuck?
Oh, geez.
Does it matter?
At least 29 again, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
beautiful.
I will tell you this. I think we all can agree. There's a tremendous amount of what you probably enjoy, if you do hopefully enjoy, about MMR is directly because of Chuck.
Yep. He's a wordsmith. He actually, Lauerball, he came up with Lauerball.
There you go.
Yes. Yep.
Real quick story. We actually had to ask our bosses to do something for us. I did, personally. And Bill was going to do it. And Chuck, it needed somebody who had a little bit of
panache?
Compassion.
Oh, compassion.
So Chuck looked at Bill and he went, I'll do it.
That's right.
I'll write it back. Right. I'll tell him to go to hell. No, it's a make-a-wish, kid, Bill. I'll take this
one. Basically, Chuck was like, let me. But that's what Chuck does. He'll take situations. He's like, listen, I'll take care of it.
He likes to figure out how to make it work.
Yeah, he does. Chuck is one of the finest people I know. So happy birthday to Chuck D'Amico. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. There's nothing on here.
There is not.
What's going on? I'm looking at our monitor that usually tells us the names
of
people who are calling. So it's
where's that sound coming from?
That was me. I was really mad.
What the is this?
I was actually.
The is that?
Do the where's the sound coming from again?
Oh yeah, here we go. Where's that? Sound coming from? There's nothing on here.
That is
what the
raw emotion from.
Yes,
me. That's actual
moments caught in time. As is my God damn you.
Yes,
I think I. Which was it? Let's see if I remember numerically.
God damn you!
Yeah, we're going to see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What city were Kevin McAllister's family or family and parents traveling to? And I will go to Joe for the answer. Hey, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning, Preston. How are you?
Good, buddy. Where were they headed to? What city?
They were going to Paris.
You are correct. Ooh. Hang on, Joe. Ooh. We got you some tickets, man. You are going to go to see John Oliver on December 31st, New Year's Eve, 10 p.m. And it's at the Met, and some tickets remain at themetphilly.com. What video are you watching here, Nick?
This is Google Home released this video this week, and it's with Macaulay Culkin as the kid from Home Alone, Kevin McAllister, and
grown up.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's very well done, and he has some fun at his own expense, and they do the keep the change, you filthy animal.
That's
the whole
great
scene. It's fantastic.
That's cool that he has now embraced that
and
has fun with it.
And also cleaned up a bit.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, he looks good.
He looks good.
He needed to do. All right, I need to watch that after this next break, so make sure you have that for me, Nick.
We watched the movie last night.
Did you?
Yeah, we do movie night some nights, and I introduced it to Jace probably last year, but I think this year he's way more into it. He's laughing at the jokes.
Great.
Do you know, it was okay when I first saw it, and it's grown on me over the years.
Yeah.
You know, I come to appreciate it.
When they get hit in the face with the paint cans, it's funny.
It's hilarious. It's complete slapstick.
It's great.
Every now and then, though, I will think of the part where Marv steps on the nail.
Yeah.
It'll just come into my mind for no reason, and I cringe.
The only thing I have a difficult time getting around is when the mom is calling the police and they just don't do anything at all.
Yeah. No,
And I'm just I know the scenario of the movie, but I'm like, that's a little ridiculous. But anyhow, you get this great
especially in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
They would respond.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, that's a wealthy neighborhood.
Yeah, so anyhow, it's still a lot of fun. All right, we have some stories to run by. Let's do this. Judge James Burke ruled yesterday the sexual assault case against Harvey Weinstein will move forward.
There you go.
The New York judge rejected the disgraced producer lawyer Ben Braffman's argument that the case should be thrown out. Weinstein was in attendance. The hearing only lasted about 10 minutes. But the lawyer said the only reasonable, prudent decision would be to stop this chaos now, he had said in court filings.
And I submit to you.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. The assistant district attorney, Kevin Wilson, responded in filings writing that there is no possibility that the allegations against the detective, Nicholas D. Guadios, in any way impaired the integrity of the grand jury or prejudiced the defendant.
Our lawyer backgrounds are catching up with us.
Well, I know the word prejudice, but I've never seen prejudiced so as a verb. So anyhow, it's going to move forward. I don't know when that's going to take place, but they are going to move forward.
Well, the defense attorney pissed off the judge quickly when the judge said, have you ever been up before me? And he said, I don't know. What time do you get up? He was that old hacky joke and pissed him off royally.
Well, Bill will love this story because it uses the word guffaw in it.
Oh, yes.
The internet guffawed after news broke that the Carr Jenner clan is pulling the plug on its apps in 2019.
That is one of my favorite laughs.
It is. That's Casey after inhaling sulfur hexafluoride.
Legit laugh.
We should do that again.
Yeah. We should. So Kim, Chloe, and Courtney and Kylie have announced that they are shutting down their apps and websites, which cost $2.99 per month to be a part of. They are following Kendall's lead, who decided to shutter hers last year. And a statement.
But they made, she made, especially Kim, made like $80 million off one of those apps.
So the statement from the sisters read, "We've had an incredible experience connecting with all of you through our apps these past few years, but have made the difficult decision to no longer continue updating in 2019. The apps, which launched in 2015, took off like gangbusters, but then withered out. About 1.5 million downloaded Kylie's in the first 5 days. Chloe had 398,000 in the first 5 days. Kim had 362,000, and Kendall received 216,000 downloads. Courtney released her app later on. On Twitter, users, perhaps predictably, greeted the news with some glee. One user said, "Can they keep themselves off TV too?" And another said, "Best news I've heard all year."
There are the beginnings of rumors floating out there about an end date on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Okay. Really?
And that there have been talks, whether that is true or not, and whether E and the Kardashians themselves have conducted conversations. But it's out there.
Yep. So Gwyneth Paltrow is showing her holiday spirit with Christmas stockings for both her new husband, Brad Falchuk, and her first husband, Chris Martin, with whom she shares her two children, Apple and Moses.
She having a goop Christmas?
Very goop Christmas. The Oscar winner and Coldplay frontman famously announced their split in 2014. They said they were consciously uncoupling, of course, that honored their love. And while many mocked them at the time, they appear to have stuck to their word.
I love you.
They frequently post pics on their social media that include each other. They also spent Thanksgiving with each other, their kids, and their partners. They even vacationed together.
Oh, that's just sick.
So sick. Gwyneth and Chris have a statement. An insider said Gwyneth and Chris have the modern family thing down pat and continue to vacation and spend family time together, especially on holidays. Gwyneth wants nothing more than to be one big happy family and for her kids to be able to celebrate with both of their parents.
It's good that they can do that, actually. It's good that they can do it for the kids. I think they learned a lesson. They both saw the first Daddy's Home, and it made a big impact on them. They realized the importance of families getting together. Right, Casey?
Yeah, Daddy's Home 2. Is awesome, by the way.
Have you guys seen it? With Mel Gibson and John Lithgow. It's crappy fun. You fight trying to like it, and it just gets you.
I didn't necessarily love the first one there. The first one had some funny moments, but the second one, adding Lithgow and Mel Gibson, those were the pieces that were missing.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Second movie better than the first thing.
Yes.
That's a rare occasion when that happens. So nice. Out with the old, in with the young. That seems to be Josh Duhamel's strategy, according to a recent chat that he had with Dax Shepard on his podcast. He said, "I'm not 30 years old anymore. I'm 45. I want to have more kids in the next few years. So it's more about finding someone young enough to have kids. It's not as if I'm out there trying to just F anything. That's not who I am. I'm trying to find a girl that I can be with and have a family with."
A really good child-rearing age, like 22.
Yeah. Duhamel, of course, split with the 43-year-old Fergie in September of last year after 13 years together and 8 years of marriage.
So Duhamel's cruising the bars looking for a potential mother?
Something like that. The pair share Axel Jack, who is 5 years old.
Axel Jack.
Yeah. Duhamel was recently linked to Isa Gonzalez, but they split in July.
Like Josh Duhamel a lot.
But he spoke highly of Fergie in an interview. He said, "Fergie and I have a great relationship. I love that girl, and I always will. Unfortunately, we didn't work, but I always have her back, and she is the mother of my baby."
Preston, both you and I served under him in the war.
Under Josh Duhamel?
Yes.
Okay.
He was a sergeant.
Yes, that's right. World War II.
Don't you feel that way? Do you always have a relationship with him?
That's right. I forgot about
He was our sergeant.
The video game. Yeah, yeah. Pearson.
Yeah.
So Sandra Bullock appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres Show Thursday and opened up about the intense period of grief that she went through when her father John Bullock died at 93 in September, and then her three-legged dog Poppy and two-legged dog Ruby died a month later.
What the hell?
A tough time for her.
Yeah.
She said, "Life, I realized, happens whether you schedule it or not." She told,
true.
Told Ellen DeGeneres, and that just blew my mind this year. She said, "My dad died, and then while my dad was failing, we get a call from the nanny that our dog, Ruby, the two-legger, had a stroke." And I'm like, "What?" It's just put her on life support. I said, "Do something." And they go, "No, we can't put her on life support. She's suffering." So I was, "Okay, there's a reason for this. Dad settled," and then we fly home. After telling herself,
she had a three-legger, a two-legger, and a ham and egger.
That's good.
After telling herself, "I'm going to be fine," she said a week later, "I'm in my bathtub crying," and the kids are like, "Is mommy okay?" So on a lighter note, though, she confessed that she was distracted at work on her 1994 hit Speed. She said, "I think about how sweet Keanu Reeves was and how handsome he was.
She had a crush on him."
Yeah, she said, "It was hard for me to be serious," and she faked a little swoon while she was doing
it. I giggled
it,
while I watched it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were swooning.
He's going to save everyone on the bus.
They had to. You know, they got something going on, I would imagine.
Yeah, but it was never back then. She was interested in him, and he was pleasant, but was not reciprocating.
Wow.
She was a cutie.
She was my, that time, she was my dream girl. I really had a thing for her back in that day and age.
Make a U-turn.
Bullock can next be seen on Netflix's Bird Box, which is coming out today, by the way. Let's see. What do we have here? Okay, Bachelor news. Let's get to that.
I love you.
Let's see if you can follow any of this. Bachelor alum Danielle Maltby took to Instagram to share her grief over ex Pauly Calafiore's cheating scandal. She did not directly name the Big Brother star. So he's on Big Brother?
I guess so.
And she said, "I'm really struggling today. I don't want to get out of bed, even though I have tons of S to get done before the holidays."
You just said?
Maltby captioned a black and white photo of herself and said, "I don't like to show all of my vulnerability."
Shut up.
I know.
You're on The Bachelorette.
And this is why I'm bringing this up. How ridiculous.
I love you.
You're not helping.
He only knows so many words. She said, I don't like to show all my vulnerability.
The cow goes moo.
Because it gets taken advantage of along with my love and kindness. Most days I feel myself hardening since my relationship ended.
Hardening.
I hardened the other night.
Hardening.
And then you softened up real quick, right?
Yeah. Stuff came out.
Oh, my God.
And then no more hardness. The chicken goes cluck.
So there's a progression.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Wait, what's the progression again?
Hardening.
Let me write this down.
Softening and then speak and spell. she said, "Most days I feel myself hardening since my relationship ended. I honestly believe that I believed I had found my person. He was everything to me."
I wonder if, you know, they get so wrapped up in this bubble world. Take comfort in the fact that there are literally billions of people who have no idea who you are.
She said, "I have been slowly draining since the lies started and my ex cheated on me."
What happened?
The people, you cheated on her.
What?
Yes.
This is about you.
You did. Oh, punch me in the face. If I ever see me in a bar, look out.
She said the revenge. So the people I know and loving this much see how much this is taken from me, especially physically. The quote, "revenge bod" I've tried to joke about isn't some new diet trend. It's because I've been physically sick.
You can't eat, right?
From the anxiety, stress, grief, and lies inflicted on me for months.
I'd love to see Capra on The Bachelor.
Wouldn't that be
good? You ladies are sick. One of you is going to get a rose. And the others aren't. It's going to make you feel sick if you don't get one. Can I have a second?
Calafiore, by the way, allegedly began hooking up with his Challenge co-star and current girlfriend, Cara Mia Sorbello, in June.
Oh, my God.
I know. But we were looking at the picture of this Instagram post. It is like It's like a model quality shot of her.
It looks like a clip from an Ingmar Bergman film.
Forcefully looking introspective.
Yes.
And
it looks like, you ever see the film Wild Strawberries years ago, a big arty film?
I didn't see it.
God, the sun on my face makes me feel older.
But I guess you know, do you go through the catalog of photos that have been taken of you and go, okay, this one will fit with what I have to say. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So, I see some. So, there are so many people that claim they're taking selfies when there's clearly somebody who's taking the picture for them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not a selfie.
No. All right. Okay. I'm going to pass along a really stupid story to you.
Okay.
You're still here?
I can't find the door.
It's over there.
You see that window with a little knob on it?
Yeah.
That's a door.
Bye-bye.
That's how they work.
Ian Somerhalder.
Oh, from Lost.
Was he was on Lost.
He found it?
Yay!
Look.
I got it. Good job, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Bachelor.
That was so nice of him to stop by for a little bit.
All right, so he was on Lost. He's also on Vampire Diaries.
Which way do I go?
It's out that way.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So this...
Bye-bye.
Bye!
Did he even say bye?
He did.
Yeah.
Okay. So Ian Somerhalder. So this is just stupid, man.
Okay,
I?
Let's hear it.
He is out for blood after a shopper shamed him for having normal and healthy food in his grocery basket. What? So he ranted on Instagram. He wrote, "I hope I don't come off as an ass. A woman just stopped me in the grocery store and told me that she had never seen a basket like mine. I told her that I have never not seen this type of basket in my grocery shopping behavior."
The hell are we talking about?
He said other people echoed her sentiments. He wrote, quote, "I'm in a grocery store. It's food. It got me thinking and really fired up. I hear in the news constantly in legislative bodies debating and the public complaining, outright bitching about healthcare costs, drug companies and doctors.
You and what, sound insane.
And what rising costs do to our society, our lives and our economy. I know our system isn't great yet. The public poisons itself daily with bad food choices."
Shut up.
This is what he chose to go off on?
What?
This is what happens.
You live in a bubble,
mm-hmm.
and everything that normally people go, I'm going to look ridiculous if I go off on this.
Right.
In normal life, Kathy, you wouldn't go, you know, kale! the things that stop us from doing this don't stop them, because they're usually surrounded by...
People tell you're right.
Right, you're so
you're right.
Right.
Everyone Would should eat kale.
Come in and talk about it.
But I mean, why? If somebody just says, "Wow, you got a lot of look at your bag. You have nothing but rabbit food in there."
Yeah.
So that offends you? I'd be kind of like, yeah.
Yeah. Shut up.
I eat well.
You know what though? Okay, so I see a little bit. I see a little bit of this because they probably get it from a ton of people, and it's just annoying. Like,
okay.
Don't comment. It's just annoying.
Have you ever been in a checkout lane and the person that's checking your food out commenting on what you're buying?
No, thank God.
Yes,
I had, but it's never bothered me. It's been like, wow, you know, oh, I guess we're making blah 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 tonight. You know, it's like, yeah.
I guess you're gonna shut up. what I will get is I'll get them asking, oh, how are these?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, so okay, the toothpaste that I love went on sale at Target, and
how many did you buy?
I bought. Oh, I'll take a picture and send it to you guys. I think I bought Target out of this toothpaste, and also if you bought three, you got a $5 gift card back, right?
Oh, nice. So, is that when you started working for Target?
Listen, pretty much, yeah. Right? So I bought so many, and the lady was like, beep, beep, beep. She's like, I've never seen someone buy so much toothpaste.
And then did you flash those pearly whites at her when she said that?
I was like, did you see these, sweetheart?
Oh, my God.
No, as I was going into... Oh, that's a good question, Casey. You have to look.
They probably last. They last forever.
But as I was going into line, I'm like, oh, God. Like, I think they're probably going to wonder, what the hell is she doing with all this damn toothpaste? Mm-hmm. And it was true. They do. She was like, God, I've never seen anybody buy so much toothpaste.
Yeah, well, I guess you don't need to have your purchases reviewed. Where it is uncomfortable is years ago when you used to rent porn movies,
and they would comment.
Yeah.
A lot of anal on this one.
Ooh, a lot of backdoor stuff. I did
just
have one.
Shut up.
One time I ordered a sandwich. So I don't even remember where, and I don't remember what I ordered, but I had said, you know, I want this, that, and that, and they were like, ooh, really? And then she immediately apologized. She goes, I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. I wouldn't like that. I'm sure you'd love it. So,
but it's like someone at the restaurant, really? Like putting their hand to the side of the mouth, they're going, I wouldn't eat this, no.
No, it was really innocent, and I didn't take offense of it. But after she apologized, I'm like, yeah, you probably shouldn't have said that, right? But
yeah. You just, yes, whatever you want.
We all have our own taste. All right, so director Chad Stahelski is currently wrapping up work on John Wick Chapter 3.
Yes!
Keanu Reeves. He believes that there are more stories to tell. He said, I enjoy making these movies because there's no limit.
And I never saw the second one. I you guys have raved about it. I got to see that one.
It takes the story of this incredible hitman in the first one and then raises it up in a logical way, and it becomes a global thing.
Yeah, they really dive more into the subculture of it.
Okay.
Whereas, like, Matrix Reloaded effed up the Matrix.
Yeah.
This expanded on John Wick and made it even better.
I like that.
He had said, we create our own mythology, and we have a studio that both stays out of our way and supports us on the wacky decisions. If people go see the movie and it makes money and they come back to us, Keanu and I have ideas for days. I could live here for the rest of my career, he said. If people like it and want to watch more, I could think of worse ways to spend your career. But, you know, we're in the entertainment business. We let the audience figure that out. So John Wick Chapter 3 is out May 17th. Halle Berry, Ian McShane, Lawrence Fishburne, Angelica Houston, and many others will star.
Kathy, you should probably see 1 and 2 because the John Wick figure will be on your desk in about 2 months.
Okay.
It's coming.
I have to prepare for this.
Take Jace to go see it.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll love it.
All right. Movies opening this weekend.
Oh man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's my fault. I got to remember these things, Preston.
Listen, it's still a fairly new segment, and I should remind you that it's Friday, and we need our special music in order for movies that are opening on the weekend, and we have it. We're ready to go.
I don't know if this is the right one.
We'll try it. Let's hear it.
Let's try it.
It might be. It might not be. Nope. No, this is the real one.
Damn it.
And you know what? It's fine. This will be all right. So normally we have the... I could do the...
Come on. Come on. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh. All right.
Oh, we have...
Yeah, we got it.
I'm not gonna prove
it. Why does that crack me up every time?
So
a lot of setup.
Bumblebee. I know. There's a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Bumblebee is opening this weekend. Action adventure film starring Hailee Steinfeld and John Cena.
It's possible I might go see this in the movies. Okay. It's like at a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes, and the critics are saying this is the Transformers movie you have always wanted.
In 1987, Bumblebee finds himself on the run and discovers a junkyard as a place of refuge. But when young Charlie revives him, she quickly finds that this is no ordinary yellow Volkswagen. Rated PG-13, 1 hour and 54 minutes long.
Name me a Michael Bay movie that's actually good.
There's a couple of them.
The Rock.
The Rock. Okay. Yeah. 13 hours at Benghazi.
Did he do that? True Lies?
No, but he did. That was James Cameron. You know who? He did a very good movie about clones escaping this facility.
Was it The Island?
I think that's it.
Yeah,
it's very well done.
Because he didn't do this. He did not direct this. No, he might have produced it.
And the first Transformers is good, Case. But it's
he just has tendencies there. I go, why are you doing this?
He's known as put him in an action sequence and get him doing what he does.
Yeah.
The Pearl Harbor attack in the movie Pearl Harbor is great. Everything else is schmaltzy and ridiculous.
Yeah.
But what they're saying with this one is, it is really, it's, you can take this and make this the story of a girl and her dog, because Bumblebee is, they have a relationship, and that's what drives the movie.
We're looking at his IMDb, Casey. He did the Lionel Richie collection.
Okay.
No. No, he did. He did Bad Boys, which was a pretty fun movie. 13 Hours, as you mentioned, Steve.
Looking at Armageddon. There.
Some okay stuff. In the Island, yeah, that was the name of that one.
Yeah.
So anyhow, Bumblebee opens this weekend. Also opening this weekend is Second Act. It is a rom-com. Jennifer Lopez, Milo Ventimiglia, Leah Remini, Vanessa Hudgens, Treat Williams, and Larry Miller are all in this.
Okay, when you watch the trailer, in one corner of the upper hand corner is like the name of the movie, and the other upper hand corner is when it comes out. Trash movie.
Okay, that's we need to find out your record on that and if that's legit or not. It's still kind of untested. This is a theory that you have.
It's just a feeling that he has. I'm not buying it into it completely, but I'm willing to entertain it.
So Maya is 40 and struggling from unfulfilled dreams, but when she gets a chance to prove herself on Madison Avenue, she realizes it's never too late for a second chance.
Do you know why I might see this, Preston? Why? Because she is actually best friends with Leah Remini.
Okay.
And they have a great chemistry together.
All right.
So, but I would probably wait to see it at home, but I will see it.
And Leah looks really good in this trailer.
She does.
So she looks like she kind of backed off some of the Botox.
Yeah, and you know when you go into your supermarket, you see women working there that look like J-Lo and Leah Remini.
Yeah, of course you do.
And you're like, it's man, if they just had a chance to work.
Usually commenting on what you just purchased.
Yeah. So she is, it's a PG-13 and it's an hour and 44 minutes long. And also opening this weekend, Aquaman.
Yeah.
Action adventure, and it stars Jason Momoa, Nicole Kidman, Amber Heard, Willem Dafoe, Patrick Wilson, Dolph Lundgren, Jaimin Hunson, and Julie Andrews, just to name a few.
Julie Andrews?
Yes, yeah. She's playing Mary Poppins.
No. I would imagine she's going to be an elder in the world of...
I get it. Mary Poppins.
Of Atlantis.
Cool.
Yeah. Aquaman gets caught in the middle when the Atlanteans begin to revolt. It is PG-13, and it is 2 hours and 23 minutes long.
It's a long movie.
And then the last one is Welcome to Marwen, a drama directed by Robert Zemeckis, Steve Carell, Leslie Mann, Janelle Monáe, Diane Kruger, Eliza Gonzalez, and others. It's a man struggling with a tragedy, creates a World War II town that comes to life. Rated PG-13, 1 hour and 56 minutes long.
There is a Rotten Tomatoes on Second Act is at a 45%.
Yeah.
Which for a comedy, if a comedy falls somewhere in the middle, since comedy is so subjective, I think that's fine.
Okay.
It well, also the genre here calls it a drama, though.
Does it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
The commercials really have it looking like a comedy.
It's, you know, so I've heard comparisons to, not in the exact same storyline, but a feel of Forrest Gump type of thing. So it's going to have a...
Marwen or...
Marwen, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. He said Second Act.
Oh, I was talking about Second Act.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, my bad.
Where did we... Okay.
We're talking about
you
three
went back
movies.
Two movies.
Yeah. Well, nobody pulled it up. You were asking, and nobody had done it, so I'm so sorry, Preston.
Anyway,
Anyway.
So, draw the... Welcome to Marwen.
Yeah.
Everybody.
That's a movie.
And it's a drama, and it has a poor Rotten Tomatoes score.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I am still going to see it. It looks very interesting and the whole concept, but I was just reading a review that called it a career low for Robert Zemeckis.
Wow. Okay. We're ready for the clips, and we're going to play those. Films like Bumblebee blend together practical effects and CG so well that it can be hard for audiences to tell them apart, unlike the actors who spend the whole time acting in an empty room. Here, John Cena talks about sharing a dialogue with a giant robot that didn't really exist.
I experienced the chance to use my imagination, and I think that was really, really special. I think we're in a performing business, and everybody's method is different. There is no wrong way of doing it. I like to be imaginative. I seem pretty cut and dry, but I'm pretty whimsical.
Shut up, dummy.
Bumblebee is in theaters now. And then the next clip. Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly are teaming up once again to bring Holmes and Watson to the screen. In this clip, John C. Reilly confirms that there was never a doubt as to who was to take on which role.
I'm clearly John Watson. I never even, really, I can't, someone asked us that before. I was like, what are you, nuts? Obviously, Will is Sherlock Holmes.
Velociraptor.
Holmes Watson will be in theaters on Christmas Day, by the way.
That's going to be, for me, I don't care what the reviewers are going to be. I'll see it in the theaters. I will think it's pretty good. And then about a year and a half, 2 years later, I will love it on cable.
Seems to be the formula for a lot of things that those guys do.
I was watching
bloopers from Anchorman and Anchorman 2 last night for about an hour and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just, that was my evening viewing.
And we said it before, or at least me personally, the first viewing of Anchorman, I didn't even giggle. Not once. I sat there and thought, this is a stupid movie. And then I saw its brilliance after watching it a few times. It's just some movies are like that.
And then in number two, where, which really, we were talking to Adam McKay about it, with the whole shark that he rescues on the beach. It's just, I mean, outlandishly stupid.
I'm going to give something away, and I have two of these. It's tickets to see Dane Cook on March 30th at the Met. It's a little ways off, but wouldn't it be nice to have tickets in advance? So let's take callers 20 and 21 at 215-263-WMMR, and we'll give you some tickets to go see Dane Cook. We're blowing out everything that we have.
Everything!
Before the Christmas break, so listen close because you might win some goodies. We're going to take a quick break. The Lucas Brothers are going to be in our studio today. Our friends from Boston Market are stopping in with some giveaways as well, so you have a chance to win more if you stick around. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a serious controversy in the world of Christmas cookie baking this year.
What?
And speaking of Christmas cookies, we got to play Christmas at Christmas Cookie Lane.
Oh my!
At some point this morning, yeah. Christmas.
You're talking about the planned sequel with Sandra Bullock.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I didn't mean to let the cat out of the bag. Yeah.
But Gary's very excited.
Kathy brought me up to speed on this, and I did a little more research, and this is indeed a thing.
Oh boy,
Hershey's Kisses, which a lot of people will use to adorn, you know, some Christmas cookies.
Yes,
they're and this is crazy, but they are missing the tips.
I've heard about this.
Okay,
so the actual point of the kiss is gone.
So much so that the company has responded to this.
Yes,
so it isn't just like this little regional thing.
No,
or, you know, a little batch of them, so there's something going on
when you make those cookies.
So
that point is a critical part.
Yeah.
Well, and I was thinking that. So there are people who are professional bakers, and they'll use Hershey Kisses, you know, for the cookies or whatever it is. And those are the people that were complaining on social media.
Yep.
Now, I did that cookie exchange party, and this year I switched it up from my normal chocolate chip cookies, and I did a shortbread cookie with the Hershey Kiss right in the middle of it.
Right.
I had to make 7 dozen. The party was on.
So that's 300 by your math.
Right. 376, according to me. And I, it was December 6th, so it was the week after the camp
out. The year before Pearl Harbor Day.
No, but I'm just saying it was a few weeks ago, and as I was making them, I'm looking at them, and I put one on, and I pulled it off, because I'm like, oh, the tip is broken off of that. Yeah. I want to get the ones where the tips aren't broken off. Every single Hershey Kiss in the bag, the tip was broken off.
And so you use those for not only taste, but presentation. They look cool.
Yes.
They don't, it doesn't look like a stub.
Yeah.
It's like a Kiss amputee on your cookie. I would say this. It seems to be more prevalent now than it used to be in the other, because Hershey's.
Well, no, this is just this holiday season that they're saying that this is happening, and all of the bakers were complaining about it on social media. Like,
yeah.
I went about my day after I noticed that they were all broken. I was like, okay, but didn't know that it was a thing this holiday season.
Do we know why?
Well, in recent weeks, members of the Facebook baking group called the Wedding Cookie Table Community have used the platform to denounce this weird change. According to the group administrator, Laura Magone, she said she had contacted Hershey earlier this month regarding the issue, and they told her that, quote, listen to this, the factory is breaking the kisses on purpose to avoid having the tips break off in transit, falling to the bottom of the bag and being discarded.
That's too stupid to believe.
You know, I don't believe it either.
I don't either.
We're going to screw up the product so that you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. The article I read yesterday said that the company said that they were looking into the issue.
Yeah, so there's an actual comment. So Fox News contacted Hershey's for comment. Jeff Beckman, director of corporate communications, released the statement. It said, and this is typical, you know, corporate.
Double speak, yeah.
Yeah. The iconic conical shape is one of the reasons families have loved Kisses for generations. We shape the tip on our classic solid milk and dark chocolate Kisses to create that iconic appearance. And while there's always been some variability in that process, we are working to improve the appearance because it is as important to us as it is to our fans. We love our Hershey's Kisses as much as our consumers. We make more than 70 million kisses a day here in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
70 million!
That's a bafflingly huge
number. That's like
number.
One of Kathy's dozens.
Yeah.
they make a dozen.
And said, and we want each one of them looking as great as they taste. Hershey's representatives have not made a clear public statement regarding if and when fans might be able to find the tips of Kiss chocolates again.
The Kiss in and of itself is a design that's meant to suggest a dollop of chocolate, and as you pull up the thing, it creates that point.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The way chocolate would naturally do it. That's part and parcel of what you've come to expect about the Kiss. In fact, you know, do you bite the top off or do you let the Kiss disintegrate in your mouth?
I have no full-fledged formula.
All right.
Sometimes
no.
I just throw it in my mouth and sometimes I'll nibble on it a little. But no, I don't have a ritual. You know, it's not like an Oreo where you have your way, you know.
I got an unpopular opinion here, probably, but I don't really care for the Hershey Kisses.
Does it involve child slavery?
It is not, okay. Steve.
All right, I'm sorry.
It does not, but I don't care for it. It's not that I don't like it.
You don't care for the cookie or the Kiss itself?
The Kiss itself.
Okay, because I don't care for the cookie that much.
Yeah.
And I have a theory, but I'd like to hear yours first.
It's boring to me. A Hershey Kiss is boring. Now, you throw some almonds in here. All right, now I'm listening.
Agreed. I'm a fan of the almond.
I like that better.
Yep.
I don't dislike the Kisses, but
I will pass up a Kiss every single time.
Okay. The dark chocolate ones are pretty amazing.
And that's where you're starting to move into my realm. the milk chocolate is still fine. Listen, and in a cookie, if they're fresh, fine. But the dark chocolate is... That's my John.
That's what I used, too, was the dark chocolate Hershey Kisses for my cookies. And I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. Every single one in there, the tip was broken off.
All right, Steve, here's my theory on the cookie, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. Because I find that the cookie with the Kiss on top of it, it's not enough chocolate dispersal within the cookie itself. And therefore...
High five.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. You guys are eating them wrong.
Wait, say that again. I was reading a text message.
The Kiss is just a dollop in the middle of the cookie. There is not sufficient chocolate dispersal within the cookie.
Yeah, right. No, I disagree.
I disagree.
I think he's right.
Now you can actually eat the whole cookie.
Oh no, I was going to say
in one bite and not feel bad about it.
I was going to say two bites. You bite it in half, so you get half the chocolate.
Sometimes though, it's a crapshoot on how that Kiss is going to break when you bite down on it.
That's true.
When you get a chocolate chip cookie filled, replete, if I may, with chocolate chips. You are getting better chocolate dispersal in your cookie.
No, I agree. It's too much chocolate in one shot.
Thank you.
To go with the cookie.
I would agree.
Now, I don't hate it.
No.
But what I would probably do is, you know, I'd pick the Kiss off and eat the cookie.
Okay.
And then you can nibble at it better that way.
That way your Kiss can be on your list.
Yeah, it could be.
The best things in life.
So hang on a second here. Somebody wants to point something out about the tips. I'm going to go to Adam. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
So we buy our Christmas cookies to make it the easy way. We buy those kits that come in a box. Everything's all inside the box.
Right.
Those must have been packaged so long ago that it was before this issue, because all of ours have the tips on the Hershey Kisses.
Okay.
So maybe if people want to go out and look for those boxes, they won't have this issue.
What you purchase is Hershey's new Just the Tip line.
I was wondering if there would be something like that would come up. Just the Tip. All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. You know, when it comes to chocolate chips, I have found that I actually like the little itty bitty ones better.
Oh, really?
Yeah, better than the larger size chip for cookies. And my daughter loves chocolate chip pancakes. So I think it's better to use the smaller ones. You get a little bit more, like Nick was saying, the even dispersal of chocolate.
Of course,
in the ratio.
I have no problem with that whatsoever. My wife's chocolate chips are my favorite. She will use Ghirardelli chocolate.
I'm glad you said that.
Right. and then she will do whatever the recipe calls for, she triples it.
Well, all right, let me ask you then, and I need some help from the peanut gallery over here, because...
Our interns?
Yes, because I think... I agree with you about the Ghirardelli, but is it because the chips are better or because the recipe on the back of the chip bag is better?
It's a slightly I think it's a slightly better dark chocolate taste.
So my question is this, because every bag of chips, I went with Hershey when I made my last batch of chocolate chip cookies. I would like to know if their chocolate chip recipe is the same as the Ghirardelli, is the same as the...
Probably not.
Well, the best, Toll House. You know, Toll House.
We use Toll House. That's the chips that I buy.
That's the best recipe. Whatever chip you use, and you're not going to go wrong with Nestle's Toll House chocolate chips.
Yep.
But the Ghirardelli is just a nacho.
Preston, do you put the chocolate chips in the pancake batter?
No. Okay. As I'll pour each pancake out in the pan and then drop them.
Okay, that's what I do.
I do it that way.
No, that's totally fine. Yep. You know, I think we can all agree that as a breakfast item, you might as well just eat red velvet cake.
Just straight up cookies. whatever it may be.
There's nothing even remotely. You're just having cake for breakfast.
Yeah, when you're putting chocolate chips in pancakes, you're having...
With syrup on it, no less.
You're having a birthday cake.
Side note, I let my son pick out a box of cereal at Target a couple of weeks ago. We got Reese's Puffs cereal. Have you had that?
No.
You might as well just pour sugar and milk into a bowl.
And if you do the chocolate chip pancakes, if you're going to put syrup on there, you may as well just put ice cream on.
Might as well.
It's the same thing.
And sugar content and a cup of Crisco.
Sure.
Yeah.
Preston, I do a whipped cream Santa hat.
There you go. Whipped cream.
And then what you do is, and parents, take heed of this. When you start feeding your kids that way, start putting money away for the flatbed you're going to need to get them out of the house.
Yeah, exactly. I have all Christmassy things to talk about, so it's a variety of stuff. So it's just
you have appropriate music.
It's going to be slightly random as we go through these stories.
What's that time of year, Preston?
There's so many good ones here. So I had mentioned this earlier. Boston Market is here this morning. They brought by some food, and we're going to do some giveaways in a little bit. And there's a list that I found of 10 franchises that will be open on Christmas Day. In case, A, you don't want to cook, or B, maybe you don't celebrate Christmas. Maybe you're, Jewish or a different faith. And I know that, from what I understand, some Jewish faith practitioners will go out for Chinese food on Christmas Day.
It's the thing.
It's a thing. But there are some other restaurants that are open for you to go to as well in case you want to. And Boston Market is one of them. Select locations are open for the Yuletide Fair. So I don't know. You may want to check ahead of time which one. Denny's are also open on Christmas Day.
You know, for people who are, whether if you're not celebrating Christmas or if you're forced to work, it's kind of nice to have a place open. I used to work at Dunkin' Donuts. You know my lengthy and storied career at Dunkin' Donuts. Mm-hmm. But they were open all the time, 24/7, 365 days a year.
And you can also make it a new family tradition. Hey, we open up presents and we all go to Denny's.
Or open your presents at Denny's.
At Denny's.
Yeah.
Steve, my high school career was spent at McDonald's and my job. And the only 2 days of the year that it was closed were Thanksgiving and Christmas.
There you go.
But I think that was the owner's decision. I think a lot of McDonald's are open on Christmas.
Huh. Okay. Also, Golden Corral will be open. I don't know of any Golden Corrals around here.
Golden Corral is for the people who think Country Kitchen is too swinging.
Yeah. Or do you mean Old Country Buffet?
Old Country Buffet. Yeah.
Because they're open too.
Yeah.
Old Country Buffet. We would go to Old Country Buffet so much that we just used to call it OCB.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, you know me.
Back when I played in the band and we were looking for a cheap, we eat as OCB. Much as you possibly can. Dude, OCB!
You know what?
So,
if you're looking for just straight up, straight ahead breakfast food, they're fine.
What else here? Huddle House. I've never heard of that.
That's where everyone kind of hunches over and gathers around and eats in a circle.
Oh, okay. IHOP is open on Christmas Day. But some surprising ones. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
No on Christmas way. Day.
Really? Yeah, it says, for a more upscale dining experience, Ruth's Chris welcomes reservations for Christmas, according to U.S. News and World Report. I haven't been there in a while. I need to go. Steaks are phenomenal. Perkins is also open on Christmas Day.
Tiger Woods, listen up.
And also another steakhouse, and there's one at Rittenhouse Square, Smith & Walensky.
Huh.
It says all.
Jinx.
Yeah.
Do we? Oh my God. All locations will be open and serving up their special winter menu
with chocolate chips,
according to the Daily Meal report. So
I want my cig with chocolate chips.
Smith and Walensky.
Huh. Closed. Marissa's saying it closed in Rittenhouse Square.
Oh, it's not open there anymore. When did that shut down, Marissa?
A few years ago. Now it's a place called Scarpetta.
Oh, okay.
That's how you enjoy
it. I only gave that one shot.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and it sucked.
You had bad service, right?
No, it was a bad steak.
Oh, man.
Like
it was chicken.
It's a big special night out. I ordered steak. Yes. And Smith & Walensky is known for their awesome steaks. But, Kathy, didn't you tell me that there was a story about that?
Like, oh, the chef?
Yeah.
Yeah, he
knew that he sent me out a bad meal and regretted it ever since.
No, I think that either he knew or... he got word from you. And
no,
he,
I never said anything.
No, you, okay, he so didn't complain.
So then he knew, and he has, to this day, at least when I ran into him maybe a year or so ago, he wanted to make it up to you and make a meal for you because he said that was not
I will allow
work.
Him to do that.
Preston, do you know who that chef was?
No.
Not to say that he's fallen on hard times. You know him better as Johnny Bobbitt.
No.
Jesus. God. And then Waffle House will be open.
Man.
And unfortunately, we don't have any Waffle House.
We right don't. You know,
yeah,
like
that's too
there's
bad.
One, I think, on Western.
Western, yeah. That's
PA.
Great.
If you want to drive out to Harrisburg.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. But I love me some Waffle House. I
do
really
too.
Do. Yeah, like the hash browns or would you call them hash browns or.
I call them hash browns, not home fries. And Waffle House
shredded.
Waffle House is so great. They don't even they don't try to pretend at all. If you order like an omelet with cheese on it, it's just slices of American cheese right on the top of the omelet.
Yeah.
They don't mix it in. They
American
don't try to.
There you go.
Yeah.
In fact, they just chuck it across the room. Here you go.
Yep. So if you're interested, those places are open on Christmas.
I'm trying to find the name of this buffet that my sister and her family love to go to.
Oh, it's Buffet and the Vampire Slayer.
That's a great name.
No, because you were talking about Old Country Buffet and the other one. And there is one that is within an hour's drive from here.
Not Hoss's.
No.
Did you ever go to Hoss's?
No.
Hoss's is, I don't know if it's nationwide, but there are several in Central PA. And it's a, I guess it's maybe a step up from Old Country Buffet.
No, okay. It's called Shady Maple.
Oh, yeah, Shady Maple.
Okay,
yeah,
they love that place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrific. It's out by Lancaster.
Yep, okay.
It's really good.
So if you're interested, if you need to get something to eat on Christmas Day, you don't want to cook, or maybe you don't celebrate Christmas, those are some places that you can go to.
My mom, Casey, goes to Shady Maple all the time with three of her friends, and my dad affectionately refers to them as the Shady Ladies.
Oh, okay. Oh. I'm sure they spend hours there.
Just, oh, yeah.
Do you remember ever spending a Christmas where you were, or a Thanksgiving where you were by yourself, or you had to work? I've had a couple.
I'm sure I have.
Over my life.
I don't remember. Were you lonely or?
You sort of make the most of it in a fun way, you know, or try to do what you can do. But it's always a good idea. And I sent that video over to Nick of remembering people who may have like lost a loved one during the year or whatever. And just to reach out, it makes such a difference to give a call or whatever. It's an important thing.
Steve, happy days.
Happy days is a Waukesha. Yeah.
When Fonzie says he's going to go to Waukesha for. And Mr. C finds him. Oh, I'm getting a little choked up thinking about it. Finds him all by himself,
working in the thing. And then they go to Fonzie's apartment. He's got this little like ratty tree on. He goes, "I got a tree."
Yeah.
And then they invite him over. And as Richie, you know, knew that he was not going to Waukesha, but they did it in a way that Fonzie would respond to.
Yep.
If you could come by and. You know,
it was very sweet.
I missed the bus to Waukesha.
And that's when the show was a little more raw. It wasn't.
And realer.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was less Mork.
Yeah.
The you're less right. Mork
yeah,
years.
Yeah. You're right. Kathy?
The less Mork era.
You had your hand up. You wanted to add something. Do you not remember?
Okay. Chips?
That was about Happy Days?
No, I didn't really watch too much.
Felching?
Happy Days.
All right. Felching.
I don't know.
That's right.
That's what it was.
God.
Yeah. Kathy wanted to bring up felching.
One last little Christmas flavored thing, and we'll get into some shopping and stuff a little bit later
on. Oh, yes.
And gift giving. And there she is.
All right,
and
I'm back.
You don't need a defibrillator with Kathy. She has a seizure on a transatlantic flight. Target.
No, yeah, all right. We're going to call it time of death.
No, I got this. Target has a sale.
This is actually a brief bit of trivia from the movie Elf, another movie which I didn't like the first time out, and now it's a beloved holiday classic. But when Buddy burps at dinner,
you
know, did you hear that? Which I love that line. So it's a 12-second long burp, and they actually, in this bit of trivia, they have the voice actor that provided this particularly long belch.
No way.
Yeah, and I was not aware. It's a guy named Maurice LaMarche, who is best known for his cartoon character, The Brain, from Pinky and the Brain.
I love Pinky and the Brain.
So he's the guy who actually did that burp.
And that is a full, intact, non-canoinkered burp?
I don't know if they had to edit a couple of them together or not. It did not indicate that in this particular bit of trivia.
Here's a long one that we have, but it's not 12 seconds.
And that's Zach.
That's Zach, mm-hmm.
Yeah, our old imaging director.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was him. I was in the studio when he did it.
But the best was at the end of it.
He's trying to force the last bit.
Was he doing it for bit or
just to show his chops? You, okay. Yeah.
So the way I learned how to do the longest burps, I actually, believe it or not, I learned during Mass. My buddy taught me
to. And then Jesus saith unto the disciples.
No, you're never paying attention as a kid. So my buddy Jeff taught me how to swallow burps. And if you can swallow them and swallow them and swallow them, and then they all build up down there, and then it all comes up as one long one.
I used to be very good at it. Can't do it anymore.
Oh,
I can't do it anymore either. I'm looking up Maurice's information here because it looks like he's voiced a lot of characters.
Maurice is sending over the sound file for it.
We do. We got it.
Did you hear that?
That could be my favorite line from the whole movie. Because the look on his face as well. Did you hear that? And it's just the best.
Did you hear that?
Hang on a second.
So that's a lesser movie that is actually a great movie. Because it's not a great movie, but there are moments in it that make it great. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you mean. Look, let's see here. Okay, yeah, he was the voice in Frozen. He was the voice of the king, who is Anna's father, I guess.
Do you know what I just watched? Did you see this? I don't know if it was the first time it aired, but it was on the other night. It was Olaf's Christmas.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's good.
It was really good.
I think they released it maybe a year after Frozen came out. Steve, and
it was funny.
It's really well done.
It's like 10 minutes long.
Yeah. Well, this was like a half hour.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Speaking of Christmas specials, and it never, ever dawned on me how stupid it was that the Flintstones had a Christmas special.
Before Christmas.
Because it's BC.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was not aware of that. That's pretty funny, Cass.
What are we doing this for again?
Hang on a second. Let me go to... Dave wants to backtrack here. He just drove past something we need to be aware of. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Mom, I'm on the radio.
Dave! What's up, Dave?
Casey, so I drive for Coca-Cola, and I'm out in Bethlehem today, and I got off at 78 near the Sands Casino, and I just drove past a Waffle House.
Casey,
Waffle that House is, in Bethlehem, that's reachable.
Yes.
Where Jesus was born.
Yes, it all comes together. That's not bad. Dave, I had no idea. Thanks, man.
No problem.
All right, we'll see you, buddy. Did you know there was one that close?
I did not. No. The only one, I mean, there's like, if you go down, like, so I always just go south, right? So I just assume I head down to Delaware and Maryland, you're going to hit a Waffle House.
Right.
Apparently, there's one near Middletown in Delaware as well, Case.
Okay.
All right.
I fell asleep it was so tired in the parking lot of a Waffle House. After a Fish concert, and, you know, so we slept for about, 20, a half hour or so, and a cop comes knock on the window, and he's like, you can't sleep here. We're like, oh, man. He goes, go across the parking lot and go over to that office building. You can sleep over there.
Well, he gave you a place to go.
But I'm like, why? What's the difference between this parking lot and that parking lot? I don't know.
Ah, hell.
I don't know, man. So, anyhow. One last thing. I know I was going to say that was one last thing, but
we have a whole bunch of things. We're going to burn them all off today.
I don't want this to escape. Kentucky Fried Chicken has released a KFC scented Enviro log, which is said to smell like the Colonel's signature blend of 11 herbs and spices once it gets going. So it's for your fireplace.
Right. So, listen. They're doing some very creative, funny stuff. I might be inclined to just try that because I do love that smell.
I do too.
Now, mind you, the house is normally full of if you're preparing things, and there's good smells around the holidays anyway. But throw one of those in and see how your guests react.
You can get one for $18.99 at KFCFireLogs.com.
This is a disgrace that they're doing to my namesake.
If you're interested.
But this is real.
You can do that very
soon. It's
real. Yeah, it's real. Okay.
I had a fireplace, a real fireplace in my old house, and I have a gas fireplace in my new house. I miss the old one from time to time. They're messy, like bringing the wood in and out. It's kind of a pain, but I liked having the actual wood burning fireplace. I miss having that.
Imagine it smelled like fried chicken.
You know?
They could do that for you. All right, anyhow. Listen,
never mind.
Justin. Okay. I keep trying to wrap up.
I know.
We got to take a break at 7:50. We got to come back. We got to get to the bizarre file. But I would like to give away from our friends at Boston Market a $50 Boston Market gift card.
Oh, and you can put that to some good use.
Absolutely. 215-263-WMMR. Call that number right now. The rotisserie experts at Boston Market are cooking up meals that you feel great putting on the table. And there's something for everyone. Rotisserie chicken, turkey, meatloaf, ribs, along with their famous sides. So let's take caller number 8. At 215-263-WMMR, we'll give you a $50 gift card. We'll be back in a second with some B-File stories. Stay there.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. The Captain, the Pilot, the Driver. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. The Captain, the Pilot, the Driver. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks your world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Out of that song, I wanted to play the Santa's Gotta Go clip in its entirety. The case wasn't in here. I know you're off doing something, but I want to. How long is that? Because we've got guests coming up next. We want to do the Christmas Cookie Cove as well, but we can't leave without playing Santa's Gotta Go.
Right.
How long is that?
2.5 minutes.
We have guests coming. Can we do that
now?
All right. And for those who've never experienced this was Casey. Pranking Bill, where Bill was put on the spot and had to go into his best Santa impression.
This is a fairly common thing where you'll get a call from a friend or a neighbor who will ask you to just sort of step in.
Yeah.
And you know the cue.
Usually not in the middle of the workday.
No.
When you're working.
No.
But you got stuff to do.
But Bill's a good guy.
He's a trooper.
And he has some funny stuff.
Hit it, Case.
Hello.
Hey, Santa, hi, this is Casey. I live in Broomall. You know my kids. I have Casey and Seamus and Avery, and I have Casey here. How you doing, Santa?
Well, I feel very well, thank you.
Casey had a lot of questions for me that I didn't quite have the answers to. Casey, go ahead. You want to ask him?
Is that Casey?
She's right here. She's getting a little shy, Santa.
Okay. Casey, can you hear me?
Come on. You just saw him. We just saw you, by the way, the other night. We saw you on the fire engine, Santa Claus.
Oh, yes. That was a chilly ride.
It was really cold. And
do you have Santa on the speaker there, Casey?
We have Santa on the speaker.
Well, it's so nice to talk to you. I'm getting very excited for next week.
I'm sorry, Santa. She wanted to thank you for the candy canes that you gave her the other day.
Well, hopefully she brushed her teeth after she ate them.
Right.
Feels good.
Well, she had some specific questions for you. She wanted to know if the elves are your kids.
No, they're not my personal children, but I treat them like my children. They're very, very helpful at the North Pole, though.
Do you have kids? Because we caught the movie Fred Claus the other day, so she wanted to know if you had any kids.
Are you putting me on? What's going on? Hey! Fred Claus, wasn't that awful movie with Billy Bob Thornton?
No, that's Bad Santa. Fred Claus is with Vince Vaughn.
Okay. Well, I was concerned that you were showing your daughter Bad Santa movies.
No, I was flipping through the channels, and we usually watch Nickelodeon Santa.
That's a good thing.
She saw the Santa Claus hat, and we had to stop for a second, so, all right.
Well... I'm very excited to visit the Father household on Christmas Eve. In case you'd be a good little child, and we'll see what Santa leaves for you under the tree.
Casey wanted to know what your she wanted to know what your wife's name was.
It's Mrs. Claus.
See, that's what I told her, Santa, but she was like, "No, she's got to have a first name."
Well, I think some people call her Annabelle, but I've only called her Mrs. Claus. That's how we refer to each other.
Hi, thanks, Bill.
You motherfucker. You were recording that.
What?
Huh?
Recording what? I'm with my daughter. Say hi, Casey.
What? Dude, I gotta go. I don't know what the hell you expect of me. Santa's gotta go.
Bill never get tired of that.
No.
The reason why it works, Bill does such a great job. Out of the blue, he gets a call. Casey hasn't prepped him at all.
No.
And then all the great things you love about Bill, his absolute and utter lack of pop culture knowledge.
Uh-huh.
Is that that bad movie?
Billy Bob Thornton?
No, that's Bad Santa.
I love the line, what the hell do you expect from me? I don't know what you want. Santa's got it. Yeah.
Could you imagine? You're sitting on Santa's lap. I want an erector set. What the hell do you expect from me? I mean, do you know the pressure I'm under?
I called three people that day. I called Bill West, and I called Matt Rovine, and I called one of my best friends from college, this guy called Super Dave. And he gave me one of my favorite lines when I asked about what you do when the reindeer die. And if I can find that, just that, because I know that means nothing to anybody listening. Yeah. Nobody knows Super Dave, but
right.
What
does he say?
He says, nobody, I don't know if I have the audio.
You have to scan through it?
I do have to scan through it just a little bit.
Bill's is clearly far and away the best.
Here we go.
Okay, all right.
Here's the question, and his response is just priceless. Okay. Casey wanted to know, what do you do when the reindeer die? What do you do with the reindeer when they die?
Nobody dies in Christmas.
Wait.
We have a funeral.
Nobody dies on Christmas.
Nobody dies in Christmas.
We have a funeral.
Well, he has no idea what to say. It's a great question to confuse him, but hang on.
Nobody dies in Christmas. We have a funeral.
We have a funeral?
She wanted to know if you guys eat them.
Eat them?
Dude, I don't know. I was just baiting him, man.
What does he say here?
Eat the reindeer. Oh,
reindeer is very tough.
Reindeer is very tough.
Yeah.
They don't eat them.
It's like eating your pets.
Yeah. When you called Rovine, I like the one, I think you pretend to curse at your daughter.
Yes.
You're like, F an answer.
Come on. Say the F word.
I love it. All right. Well, by popular demand, there was a lot of texts were coming in saying, please play it. So there you go. Oh, it's been done. All right. Let's do Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas. Lift tickets make great holiday gifts for the skiers and riders on your list. You can save when you purchase in advance at store.jfbb.com. Jack Frost, Big Boulder, where the snow comes first.
We have a funeral.
10 seconds later.
Yeah, what do you expect?
I don't know what the hell you expect from me. All right. How about this, man? A chainsaw crime spree. You don't hear those those words.
No, thankfully.
A chainsaw crime spree didn't end so well for a 21-year-old man named Justin Carrillo. He had been stealing chainsaws from Lowe's and Home Depot stores for weeks.
Yeah, you can have it either that they're stealing chainsaws or they're committing their acts of thievery with a chainsaw.
But when police finally arrested him, listen to this. It gets weirder. He jumped into traffic, got hit by a car, ended up in the hospital, and set his own hospital bed on fire.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Investigators from Lowe's reported a man had stolen chainsaws from several stores. Police linked the suspect vehicle to Carrillo's girlfriend, started tracking him. They caught up with him last week when he tried to sell the stolen goods, and they arrested him. But while in handcuffs, officers said Carrillo ran into traffic and tried to escape and got hit by a car. He was taken to the hospital. Then he used a metal earring and electrical medical equipment to light his hospital bed on fire.
With him in it.
Yeah, and hospital staff had to put out the flames. He's now facing multiple charges, including arson and theft. But he went to the level of trying to use a spark from electrical equipment to set his bed on fire.
Jesus.
This guy's got some serious issues, so he's going to jail. Tomiko Warner didn't just make a scene before her flight at Memphis Airport. She made a mess. Turned over furniture and set off a fire extinguisher that filled the airport gate with fog.
Wow.
The man who filmed the rampage and posted it to Facebook said that it was all over a $20 baggage fee.
Yeah.
Warner in the video said, I don't care about going to jail. Whatever. This is worth it. She carried on for nearly 5 minutes, uninterrupted in the video, causing thousands of dollars of damage in the airport.
Other passengers watching the video for the first time couldn't believe their eyes. Maria Rivera watched stunned as Warner clapped proudly in the video, seemingly unashamed. Rivera said, "That's terrible. I think people need to check themselves before acting like this in public."
To be honest, if I was waiting for a flight, I would have loved that.
Totally.
Would have given me something to watch.
Awesome entertainment.
Yeah.
Warner is charged with disorderly conduct and vandalism. Her bond is set at $5,000. A man, this is a Philadelphia story, a man with a sword who had barricaded himself in a home and threatened officers had been taken into custody after an incident police in Philadelphia are describing as bizarre. The 42-year-old's identity has not been yet released, but police say he tried to urinate on officers, threatened to cut off their heads, and threw items that included a weed whacker at them.
Mm, he should be a lawyer.
Yeah, I heard they let him go because he had an autograph on that sword. I don't remember
That's
who
right,
the autograph
yes.
Police were called.
Andy Jackson.
Police were called to a home on Monday for a report of a man high on narcotics carrying a sword. When police got there, he started swinging a 2-foot sword. Officers used a taser to little effect, and he ran, still swinging, and barricaded himself inside. As he threatened to slice the officers and himself, he urinated out the window onto the officers and threw outside furniture, weights, speakers, a knife, a door, glass, a weed whacker, and a fiery pillow.
Man, he had a whole bunch of stuff.
After about 4 hours,
it's like the worst yard sale ever.
A SWAT team took him into custody for a mental health evaluation.
I know I went a little crazy there.
A woman is facing cruelty to animal charges after a neighbor complained that she allegedly shot his goat.
Where's my goat?
The neighbor told authorities that this is the third time that Karen Sue Myers has shot this same goat.
What's with you and shooting my goat?
And how is this goat alive? When deputies arrived, they found a woman in the goat. They found a wound in the goat's hind.
There is a woman in my goat. She's shooting from the inside out.
Myers' face.
Why did I ever move here?
Myers' face is.
Get out of my goat!
One count of aggravated cruelty to animal.
I don't want to.
She was booked into the county jail, and no bond was set.
Crazy bitch climbing in my goat.
Bringing in a gun with her.
They had a funeral.
Oh.
And let's see. Listen to this idiot, okay? So the Portland pharmacist fired for allegedly secretly recording coworkers in a bathroom is now accused of doing the very same thing at his next job.
Oh, my God. He just can't stop.
34-year-old.
He's like, who was it? Chuck Berry. Yes.
34-year-old Johnny Chan had a bail hearing on Tuesday afternoon. He faced a 71-count indictment for allegedly recording people in an employee bathroom inside Northeast Portland's Kaiser Pharmacy Lab from December 2016 to November 17, 2017. Now, after being fired by Kaiser during the investigation, Chan got a cashier's job at the Banana Republic store. And a spokesperson for the store said that they completed screening and they were not aware he was under investigation for the alleged incidents. Investigators accuse him of setting up another secret camera in the employee bathroom there and found by an officer involved in the Kaiser investigation. Chance, accused of recording 27 co-workers at the store, one of them a minor, by the way. So,
Listen, I get that this is some people's perversion. I don't understand what's so attractive about it or what turns you on.
Yeah, I don't know.
But come on.
One last story. You're not supposed to cover your license plate, but that didn't stop a driver in California. The California Highway Patrol said a driver tried to avoid toll enforcement by covering part of their license plate with a sticker from a package of chicken wings.
So they were foiled in their plot.
Yeah. The CHP said in a Facebook post that a sergeant pulled over a white Ford Mustang Tuesday evening for having a partially covered license plate.
His license plate number A444 Purdue.
He admitted he used his receipt from a pound of teriyaki chicken wings that he bought at a Safeway to cover 2 digits on both of his vehicle's license plates in order to avoid the toll on the Richmond San Rafael Bridge. The driver was cited for having an obstructed license plate and driving on suspended license as well. And there you go. That's what I got for you in the bizarre file. Let's give away some more Boston Market gift cards. I have two $50 gift cards. We'll take callers 13 and 14 at 215-263-WMMR. You'll be good to go. No one serves chicken like Boston Market. They guarantee their signature rotisserie chicken is always fresh, never frozen.
Phenomenal.
No antibiotics, MSG, added hormones, or steroids. So let's set you up with that. Give us a call right now. I'm going to take a quick break to see if our guests have arrived and welcome them here into the studio. We've got some other things coming up, too. Make sure that you're with us this morning.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
There we go. Thank you, Kathy.
That's a clinic in professional radio.
That's exactly what we do each and every day. Hey, we're excited to have these gentlemen in our studio. They're going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and Saturday. We would like to welcome both Kenny and Keith Lucas, the Lucas Brothers. Gentlemen, nice to see you this morning.
Nice to see you as well.
Thanks for being here. All right, so we have Kenny and Keith, who are twins, for those who may not be familiar. And do you dress similarly on purpose, or is this your style? Because you're both wearing hoodies, army jacket, baseball hat, glasses.
Yeah, that's a great question. We have to ask our therapist. I think we do it because we're trying to be cool and...
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know about cool, but we're definitely trying to enhance the whole twin.
The twinness?
Yeah.
It's like a Groucho had the mustache.
Exactly.
You got your thing.
Exactly.
It's your deal. Well, I think it's cool.
And Costello, yeah.
Do you always agree? You know, you get up in the morning. Okay, this is what we're wearing.
I say we agree 99% of the time.
Okay.
Occasionally, he wants to wear a different color hat. But
yeah.
Speak him off the ledge.
Did your mom dress you the same when you were kids?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That was the inspiration.
Oh.
We didn't want to, like, step away from that.
Yeah, okay. Because I've got three kids, and right now, I don't know if it's this time of year, but the siblings are just, they're at each other's throats.
Oh, really? Oh, oh no. My God. What are the ages?
They're 18, 16, and 11.
Ooh. There you go.
And they're just, it's like, I'm...
You're a referee. It's WWE.
A referee who didn't see the play and doesn't know how to make the call. You know what I mean?
That's got to be a nightmare. Oh. But you guys have, reading about you and the whole thing, you've gotten along very well over the years. Sometimes we've heard of a contentious.
Oh, yeah. We've had some fights.
Yeah, you've had some fights.
We've had some fights.
Was there a bleak period in your relationship?
In 2016, 2016, we weren't really speaking to one another.
really?
Yeah, because we were going...
What precipitated that?
We were in L.A., and we were kind of, like, going different routes. Like, I was going to, like, the nerdy, artsy section, and he was going to, like, the cool club. And so we were just, like... There's a lot of tension.
Were you trying to out-hipster each other?
I think it was that, man. I was
the coolest brother?
I'm cooler than you, man.
You're cooler
than you. It was crazy, man.
It's funny, though, because, like, I'm the middle brother, so my older brother was out of the house, fairly early.
Yeah.
But it's always the thing he introduced me to some things, and you always look up to your older brother.
Absolutely.
But you guys, you're discovering the same things sort of at the same time.
True.
There's no sort of leader.
Well,
you know?
I like to believe I am the older brother by a minute. He's fine. I'm a little older than wiser. I would hope that he would look up to my 1 minute of wisdom.
Listen, I think I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I've been here for 60 seconds longer. I had
the experience.
That's a lot of experience.
I've been around the block.
Hey, a lot can happen in a minute.
A lot.
We sell commercial minutes.
Yeah. I had twin friends as growing up, and I've always I wanted to have twins. I love them.
Yeah.
Whether they're like, and I actually my nephews are twins, but they don't look anything alike at all. What do they call that?
Fraternal. Well, they're not real twins.
Identical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then my friends have mirror twins. You know what mirror twins
Left
are, right?
Right. Yeah, yep. Yeah,
which is pretty wild.
Wait, what is?
So
I never heard of this.
One of them is right-handed and left-handed, and the other one's left-handed.
Mirror image twins.
Oh,
crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. But they're identical.
Right,
know, but they just, throw left.
It's a fascinating thing. And years ago, there were loads of documentaries where they used to take twins and triplets, and they would, like, deprive one of one,
Did you see that documentary?
Yes.
Three identical strangers?
Did that blow your mind?
Blew my mind.
Yeah.
Blew my mind.
I mean, the level of cruelty, too, involved in that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I actually have that movie in my backpack right now. Is it worth a watch?
It's worth it. I don't want to watch it now, though. It's too traumatic.
It is. It's not a Christmas movie.
No.
A girl I dated, she had twin brothers. They were younger, and the father would do experiments on them, but they were, like, not bad.
Like biological medical experiments.
No. Like, for instance, it was random amputations. It was time for to buy a new winter jacket, and he would take one to the store and have him pick out a jacket. jacket, and then he would take the other to the same store and have him pick out a jacket and see if they
figure out the
and
same
they
one.
Always did.
No way.
Yes.
There's, but there's something
crazy.
So you get. I mean, I was kind of just looking at a list of because I have to imagine being twins. You get. It has a list of annoying questions, like if I pinch one, does the other one feel it?
Yeah.
So what are the most annoying twin questions you get?
Oh, well, one question we got, are you guys brothers?
Stop it.
We're like, no, but we are twins.
Do you ever get the, how old are you?
Yeah.
How old are you?
The one that I hate the most, not the most, but the one that I'm starting to get very annoyed by, a person would be like, are you guys twins? Because if not, man, I thought I was seeing double. Was like, if you're seeing double, there's something wrong with you. You have a tumor, a concussion. You shouldn't be seeing double.
You're seeing a fully opaque twin.
When I was in, my younger brother and I look alike, but we're 3 years apart, and we told these people at a party that we were twins. But we were born 2 years apart, and they believed us.
Well, people don't want to offend.
No.
I don't know what this is.
Especially don't want to offend us.
Yeah. Have you ever had like a Corsican Brothers kind of? Because I saw a documentary about that. There's grounds to say that there is some sort of extra connection that does exist.
You know, I mean, if you study quantum mechanics and with entangled particles, I mean, we are entangled particles.
Yeah.
We're born together. We come out of the same source. So
there's a connection.
Yeah,
it's good to believe it.
Yeah.
You both majored. Now, I was reading about your schooling, and you're both philosophy students,
but then
you went to law at some point.
Okay.
And then, so when you said to your parents you were leaving all that for comedy, that must have been
they were elated. so delighted by it. Are you guys going to make so much more money being comedians over lawyers?
But moving from philosophy to law seems a lot more viable, right?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
The type of teaching in philosophy is totally different from law teaching. You know, they use the Socratic method in law school, and it's like really intense, and it has nothing to do with Socrates, I thought. I was like, Socratic method. I thought it was going to be us talking about Socrates.
Yeah.
But no, it's just professors letting out all of their frustration on a student.
I remember in college, I think that's the time where you're going to read the classics, and I'm going to read the great philosophers.
Yeah.
Why not give me a nice toolkit of things to assimilate life in?
Yeah.
And it really helped me learn how stupid I am.
We talked about this with another comedian a week or two ago, but the basis of studying logic within philosophy would be a natural progression to law, right? And learning syllogism and arguments as to why you're right. Do you ever take logic to the stage?
I think I've used logic more in comedy than I use it in law.
Well, you didn't go to class.
I was bombing in law.
He didn't go to class.
That's a moot point.
But to that point, that would actually, I think, be a great tool because you look for the illogic of life experience.
Well, I have an argument that comedy is essentially syllogistic in form.
Yeah.
When you really think about it, the setup is sort of the premise of an argument, and then the punchline is the conclusion. Now, sometimes,
and generally, the conclusions somewhat follow from the premise.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just truncated versions of it. That's cool. Yeah. That's a good way to look at it.
Hey, is it being a tough? Is it tough being a two person act? Do you guys get paid the same amount that one person would?
Yeah,
get paid?
That's the roughest part.
They
pay us as one act.
Yeah. That sucks.
Nah. It is what it is.
You can't make a living off of it.
We share everything anyway, so why not share? I mean, we were thinking about just becoming conjoined twins.
Can you do that after the fact?
Wow.
Just hook our pinkies up.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like the whole side or anything like that. Pinky.
That's cool because you have to see there's those twin high school girls. Well, they're joined at the head.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a level.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, we got fortunate that we didn't get
Yeah. You're just trying to pick out what clothes to wear.
I read a bit of information here. It says, just recently filmed a segment with PBS about Newark, which is where you grew up. I assume, is that Newark, New Jersey?
Newark, New Jersey,
not Newark, Delaware.
No. Newark, New Jersey. There would be no segment if it was Newark, Delaware.
was Newark... Is Newark a tough place to grow up in?
I mean, yeah. We started getting robbed at 5, you know what I mean? Seriously. It's rough. It's tough. I mean, look, it's getting better.
Yeah.
It's not all bad, but it's enough people in there to make life miserable for a lot of other people.
Specifically where you grew up, your neighborhood,
where we
is getting better?
No.
I mean, it no. is, though. Oh. Mo Vaughn is rehabilitating our ghetto.
Yeah.
You know the baseball player Mo Vaughn?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mo Vaughn.
Mo Vaughn.
Yeah. I heard Vine.
Oh, yeah. Vaughn. No, Mo Vaughn. He's
AL MVP.
Yeah. AL MVP, 95. He's rehabilitating our ghetto. Yeah.
Okay. That's yeah. great.
That's crazy.
Newark yeah. Newark used to be, years and years and years ago, was like, Newark. And then you know, it fell into, obviously, a state of dilapidation.
Yeah.
But the word is that areas are being reclaimed.
And without a doubt.
Is that what you discovered?
No. We were in New York, and we were doing a show, and a white girl was like, yeah, I just moved to Newark. I was like, what?
moved to?
You know, it's crazy.
It didn't force you in?
You were born in?
I've actually heard arguments against gentrification. Because what it does is it pushes people out. People that could normally afford that neighborhood can no longer afford the neighborhood.
Well, some people got to get pushed out. You know what I mean? Some people do. I'm not for pushing out everybody, but I'm for pushing out some people. Yeah.
But then they got to go somewhere else, and then another neighborhood becomes not as...
Well, hopefully it's North Delaware.
You know what happens, though, peripherally then, areas that are they start to get lifted organically because they're now... those are desirable areas.
Absolutely. So Penn is doing it. You know, Penn is in West Philadelphia, and it you know, over the past few decades, have been buying up property, selling it to either university or hospital employees, and you know, building up the area around. And slowly but surely is.
Yeah, you got to take a gradual approach. Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes cities try to. You know, they try to change it too quickly, but like you have to start from the
force it.
Up.
That never. The less intervention, the more that you allow normal forces to occur, the more substantial it'll be.
Yeah.
I agree. So, you know, our interns were talking, and they recognize you guys from 22 Jump Street. You
yeah,
know? And I've been aware of you. We're fans.
Thank you.
But that had to be a blast working on that film because
people just
love ad-libbing and the whole thing.
I mean, it was tightly written, but. Yeah. Lord and Miller, the directors, they really know how to work with comedians, so they understand, like, look, it can't just be about the words. You got to let the guys improvise a little bit to see where they can go with the comedy, and it was a blast.
Your stuff seemed very organic. Knowing what your material was like, it seemed very organic.
Absolutely.
To you. So you ended up improvising a fair amount?
Oh, yeah. We improvise. So we do our first two or three takes. We'll read it based solely on the script.
Right.
And then they'll let us have a few takes of just improvising. And then it kept a lot of the improvised stuff. So it was really
like the when we did Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Yes.
That was improvised.
That's great. Yeah. That is awesome.
Well, I want to ask about the Jinx segment because I was going to try and show you a video. Because this is the first time I saw you was in that movie. Jinx segment, I had to rewind over and over and over again so I could learn it. And then I did it with my daughter. It is so... Great.
Now, it's fun.
Was that written or was that something?
That one was totally written.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we rehearsed it and like hell.
Do you guys still remember
two takes? Do we remember?
Jinx.
Bobby Cook.
Austin.
I can't believe
we're
saying the same thing. Carrot.
Close to
extend. I'm going to do it on stage tonight.
Do you know that? I would think that with people as talented and who knew Channing Tatum was, you know, was...
He's dynamic.
Comedically was cool.
Yeah.
But that, you know, when you start to get into a groove like that, you know, I guess from our pedestrian angle, we're not realizing the amount of money that's being burned up for, you know, the longer you take to nail something.
Yep.
But to have a little bit of a playground to do that. So at a certain point, do they say, okay, now we have to go.
They don't let us improvise for hours.
Right,
They'll probably give us one or two takes of just, you know, being free.
Right.
Two takes of, you know, what's written. But they were really efficient, though.
They were very efficient.
Moved it right along.
So what about you guys in that realm? As because I you know you write and do that as well. Do you see creating content yourself?
So we just sold a film to Universal with Judd Apatow, and we've been working on that
Excellent. Yeah,
that's for us. That's set for us to write and star in. But we also sold a story to Warner Brothers about Fred Hampton. We wrote that, and so it's just like we're trying to keep our hands in everything.
Judd Apatow has been on the show. We've had him in a couple of days. He's great.
Yeah,
and just but
He also has that thing. People look, it's like, you know, you remember the show Bewitched? You know, like Larry Tate would be the guy who didn't know what was going on. But the other guy knew, and everyone would go, oh. So when Judd Apatow gives you sort of the blessing, that has to raise your stock, right?
It's like, yeah. it's like in the Godfather when he anoints the guy. And you're just like, oh, shut up. I'm a made man. Yep. I can go to any club I want.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys don't know I know Judd Apatow?
Work in Newark, though.
We talked to so many filmmakers and people involved in the industry, and they talk about, you know, well, this project's coming up and so on and so forth. And a lot of them don't happen.
Yeah.
You know? So at what point do you know, okay, this is really a go? Because you hear, yeah, we're moving forward. This is happening.
You don't know until you're on set. And even when you're on set and you're filming and you go through 14-hour days for 5 weeks, it could still go to the studio.
Yeah.
And it'll be like,
there's stuff that sits on the shelf and like for 4 or 5 years and then just gets released.
Yeah.
And they're like, now what happens is, I think that's probably going to happen less and less the more you have with the Netflix phenomenon.
I hope so.
Where you're getting something that they'll say, okay, let's just release it now. It won't collect dust.
Yeah.
Because they're just chowing up content
and
right
wasting money. And it's like, that's crazy that all we want is content.
Yeah.
And then these networks are like, oh, let's just not release these things.
Right.
To me.
But it's funny because there are so many outlets
and
ways to have it be seen.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You would think that they'd find some way somewhere to put it out there.
IMDb is making stuff. I'm like, everybody's making stuff. Like,
that's true. Yeah. IMDb.
IMDb.
I think I saw you guys first on The Grindr.
Yeah.
There's a perfect example of a show Casey and I loved.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Lowe and Fred Savage.
It was awesome.
And it just dies.
It was
and
the a waitress. Brilliant show.
Brilliant
show.
I don't know why. Like, you know, are we just too ahead of our time?
I think we're visionaries.
No, it's the system. Like, they just don't have a mechanism to allow for development of shows.
Do you think that show could have been or would have been more successful on another network?
Yeah, it would have been more successful on like a Netflix or
a Hulu,
Amazon.
Because you needed to stream that show.
You really you need to catch it in a couple episode clusters.
Yeah.
Because then you see where they're going. I think somebody might have sampled it and not have realized the cheek tongue ramming thing that was going on and not have caught, you know, where they were going with it. But it was brilliant. It's funny that you mentioned that though, because for what you guys do, I wonder if now you have to think about that for projects. I think this needs to be streamed, or I think this needs to be.
I do every show with the hope that it gets canceled, because I want to be in the most canceled show. So we got to live for something.
Like Susan Lucci, you got to be the long.
But even if it's canceled, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's dead, because Brooklyn Nine-Nine's coming back.
Great shows find homes
even when they're dead.
I mean, it really just depends on what the executives want.
Like, right.
If there's an executive at NBC who's really championing Brooklyn Nine-Nine and they're willing to fight for it.
Yeah.
But if they're not willing to fight for it, then it's dead forever.
Are you amazed by the amount of like money that just gets burned up in like.
It blows my mind. It blows my mind at just the wealth in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You can spend $5-10 million developing a pilot and then just.
Never shoot it.
Never even shoot it?
Yeah.
Where does that money go?
They write it off. In fact,
they do write it off.
There used to be the perfunctory thing in Hollywood was to purposely make the bomb that they could write off to offset costs of other things, right?
Yep, they do that.
And in fact, they made a movie about that, which was a serious movie about, you know, making the intentional bomb.
Like, so if they have an actor that's contracted for like 3 years, but the relationship is sort of going south, they'll make a third movie that just blows and it doesn't make any money, but
it's
they
wild.
Have to get this guy out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
Hollywood's madness.
It's
Hollywood's
a bizarre business.
Madness.
If you're just jumping in, Kenny and Keith Lucas are here. They're going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and Saturday. So you guys, you're playing in Philly.
Yep.
The weekend before, you know, holiday.
Mm-hmm.
What after that? You got any other gigs? Or are you just going sliding straight into Christmas, doing holidays and all that stuff?
We're going to Chicago at Up Comedy Club on January 4th. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we'll be in New York, the Bell House, filming an hour.
And we're also doing Phoebe Robinson's show.
Oh, we're doing Phoebe Robinson's show at Union Hall.
Very cool. 15th. What do you guys do for Christmas? Do you have a celebrate Christmas? Do you have a family thing? Or
I think I might chill with my mom. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't really celebrate.
Okay.
I mean, I celebrate it, but I don't like buying gifts.
You don't go big.
Preston was talking about yesterday.
I don't like buying gifts. Right before Christmas, I always convert to Islam. I convert back after.
See ya. Yeah.
That's a great excuse.
Yeah. They never say when and how many times you convert.
No. They're just happy when you return.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm back, baby.
Christmas over. Salam alaikum.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It's difficult to go out and buy all the gifts for everybody, and I'm just not creative when it comes to getting good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get the worst gifts. I don't get very good.
It's all about the gift card, man. It's all about the gift card.
Where do you stand on gift cards? Because they used to be...
You actually have to use the scissors to wrap the gift.
They're actually good, though, right? To get you an Amazon gift card, right?
I mean,
there you go.
But I feel like that's like... You're not thinking. You're just like, I'm at the checkout line in the grocery store. I'll just get a bunch of.
But you know what it is, though? It's the admission between you and the recipient that.
Fair. Sure.
Just get what you want.
Yeah.
And we'll satisfy this requirement.
Also, if you don't like shopping, you don't like getting gifts, I don't want the crappy gift you're just going to pick up and get for me.
Listen,
give me a gift card.
Kwanzaa is a perfect example. wonderful thoughts, wonderful idea, got it. But what you made me is a piece of crap. and it's, you know, arts and crafts gifts, or like the one they used to sell. We talk about it all the time on the show. In this box is my heart. You must never open. No, it's an empty, cheap box you got me. But that's what you're left. I remember as a kid buying my, you'd be buying magazines as a Christmas gift on Christmas Eve because I don't know what to get you.
Yeah.
You know, it's that conundrum. But Preston was feeling the onus of that on him the other day, and it overwhelmed him.
What happened?
I'm not ready. So yesterday I had to go pick up some very specific things for my family. Apparently, we're exchanging ornaments this year.
Yeah.
Who knew? So I'm driving around, and I have to find a very specific ornament for the person that I'm buying it for, something about their personality. And I went to like six different stores and trying to find a goddamn thing.
You know what sucks is the ornaments are the worst Christmas gifts to get, and now you're going to get four of them.
I know.
What do you mean ornament and personality? What is that? How do you connect it?
Well, they have all kinds of specialized ornaments now that you can get. So, like, if you know, for my daughter, you know, she's really into art, and you know, so I might get something like that. You know what I mean?
You're getting
like
for the kids,
easel, you know? For the kids.
Preston is going to get drumstick ornament, a drum ornament, a microphone ornament, and headphones ornament, or something.
and a golf bag.
Yes.
Yeah. But he says apparently. Yeah. I guarantee. If we had his wife on the phone, she told him this months ago.
You know who don't?
Who doesn't
get ornaments though? Muslims.
Yeah. More ornaments than that, really, man. Don't even have to think about it. I'll be praying all the time.
They tap back in for Ramadan.
Well, listen. You know, a lot of people may be heading into a little time off, which is wonderful, and a great way to unwind and go have a good time would be to go see the Lucas Brothers. So they're performing tonight, 7:30 and 10:30, Saturday as well at Helium Comedy Club, and you can get the tickets at heliumcomedy.com. Gentlemen, thanks.
Oh, man. Thanks for having us.
Appreciate being here. Thank you, guys. Let's hear for the Lucas Brothers.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate
Kenny
it.
And Keith. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, what's up? It's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Jack Frost and Big Boulder ski areas are officially open for the season. And WMMR's Day Up on the Slopes with Pierre Jackson is January 4th. Tickets are available now at WMMR.com while supplies last. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer. Free shipping both ways, making return and exchanges easy. Visit him online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, gang, this holiday season, your special someone is going to unwrap and unwind. If you get him a gift card from Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa, and there's a special offer, you can save $10 on spa gift cards at regular pricing, or you can buy a holiday spa package, and you get a free massage or facial gift card with that. Go to handandstone.com today for all the information.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We had such a great time at the Parks Casino broadcast yesterday, the Excite Center, the Christmas Miracle broadcast, gave away a lot of great things. I received a very special gift yesterday, and I want to say thank you on the air for it.
Really?
Yeah, a gentleman named Dean. He plays in a band called Ja People. Ja People. And it's a Bob Marley tribute band. And I ran into Dean when we were in London in front of the Abbey Road Studios.
Huh.
And Dean had a guitar with him.
Oh.
And we sang a couple songs.
Yeah, we jammed.
Yeah, we sang some Beatles songs. We did a Little Help from My Friends.
Yeah.
Right there at Abbey Road.
He posted something on their Instagram account and for some reason tagged me in it as well. And that was really neat.
Well, yesterday after we were done with the broadcast, you guys had taken off and Dean had taken a picture of my wife and I doing the walk across Abbey Road, a la the Beatles on the cover of that album. He took a picture of it, and he blew it up and made it into a portrait for me. It's huge.
Where is it?
It's so cool. It's at home. I took it home.
Wow.
I'll take a picture of it and post it so you guys can see that. But he didn't have to do that. It was a really cool thing for him to do, and it just made my day. So, Dean of Ja People, you are the man. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was really, really nice. And I'm really
thoughtful
in seeing their band sometimes, you know. I mean, Delaware native, Bob Marley. How can you not love that?
Hey, so what'd you get him?
My undying love. I gave him a hug.
And then people like that don't give gifts to get gifts. They do it to make because it makes them feel good.
Really cool.
He did get something for everybody. I actually brought the bag in here with me now.
Some shirts, yes. So he had
really stuff
for you guys too. That's right. I forgot you took that. Case,
do you think we could figure out who everything is for here?
I don't know. I think they're Ja People.
Oh, Ja People shirts. Okay, awesome.
But they have really cool, kind of trippy. Pot smoking type of.
I will gladly wear that because I am, of course, a massive cannabis connoisseur.
You're a reefer head.
Absolutely. I love the Mary Jane.
But anyhow, thank you guys. Thanks, Dean. I appreciate that. It was very, very cool of you to do that.
Were they in London for the Eagles game or were they? Okay, that's cool.
I believe so. And he just brought his guitar with him.
Yeah.
So it was really neat.
You were busking.
Abbey Road is so great. I was thinking about that place again this week. I would love to get back there and spend more time. I'd love to get a tour of the studios.
Yep, me too. Hey, on the whole thing about gifting people, Steve sent over an article about re-gifting and the do's and don'ts of re-gifting.
I love this.
Yeah, you do. Will you re-gift on occasion, Kath?
Well, yes.
It's okay to do that.
Not something that I hate and I don't want. Something that I might not need, like if it's a bottle of wine that I don't drink, somebody gets me a Chardonnay, I don't drink that. I would re-gift that.
Okay. All right. So here are the do's and don'ts, apparently.
But I'm not going to take a crappy gift and give to somebody else.
To re-gifting. Only re-gift brand new items.
Right. Yes. Of course. Yes.
Agreed. Yes. You can't have used the item and then re-gift it and try to box it back up and color, you know, put the wrapping back on and all that stuff. Not cool.
All right, so that's a do. Do only regift brand new items. Don't regift within the same circle.
Yeah, that's.
It says if you receive a gift from your coworker, then don't regift it among your business colleagues.
It'll hurt someone's feelings if they think you've regifted their gift.
Instead, take it to family and vice versa. If you receive a gift from family, don't regift it within the family. Do it with your friends or coworkers. Just try to make sure that you mix it up, okay?
So if you're saying if you receive a gift that you don't really like, but you want to regift it, don't turn around and then hand it to someone else as a gift.
Right there.
Yeah, right there.
Do put the gift in new gift wrapping. So you gotta rewrap it. Don't
change the name tag.
This is interesting. Don't regift something you got for free. It says don't regift swag.
Oh, yeah, that's cheap. Even I won't do that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay.
Are you sure?
It says it should be something that was actually purchased. And perhaps the most important rule of all, don't re-gift something that was handmade for you by someone else. You might be surprised to know that sometimes it is acceptable to tell a friend that the present you're giving them is a re-gift. Interesting.
Is it?
I think sometimes I'll do it this way. Somebody gave this. I can't use it. You know, would you like it?
Yeah.
And then I think that's completely fine.
But not, hey, it's your birthday. Ooh, here's something
here you
that
go.
I don't want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It says here that it mostly depends on the relationship that you have with that recipient. It says if you want to tell them. that you're giving the tell them that it's a re-gift.
I think you're going down a slippery slope if you also say, look at the other, I got you something, I think you're going to like it, and it's just simply a re-gift. Be as honest as you can, and that's good enough.
It depends on the relationship. All right. It says, if you have a very close relationship and you know you're giving something that they would have absolutely adored, it's acceptable. I have a friend, this is the person writing this article, I have a friend who loves Lucille Ball. Let's say somebody gave me something with Lucille Ball on it. I would tell my very dear friend, my sister gave me this, but I know you adore Lucy, so I thought you would... I thought I would give this to you instead.
You get full gift kudos and full gift credit for that because you were thinking of the person. It's not something you want.
Yeah. Right. So you're saying if you are going to re-gift, don't pass it off as your own? Because I've done that plenty of times. I've gotten, like, people that listen to the show have given me, like, fish posters.
Yes.
You know, because they release a poster every concert.
Like a bass or whatever.
Yeah. Huh. Something like that. Fish the Band.
Oh.
And my best friend Jeff loves those fish posters. He frames them and hangs them on the wall. So I've given them to Jeff, and I don't go, hey, I bought this for you.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, somebody gave this to me. I know you're going to use this.
And he's appreciative, right?
Yeah. But I don't go, hey, man, I got this for you.
Yeah. I drove all over town. Yeah. I finally found it at a little poster shop in Secaucus.
Right. Let me go to Mike, who wants to chime in. Mike, good morning, sir.
Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks.
What's up, buddy?
So every year... For like since I was a kid until unfortunately this year we're not doing it because my grandfather passed away. Every year he would have a re-gifting auction basically.
Oh.
And it was basically everything my grandfather got for free from like the ASPCA and like the VA, he would auction off to everybody. And some years was great. Like one year I got a Craftsman ratchet set. And some years are bad. One year I got cologne that he hasn't used since the
50s. But why not keep that tradition alive?
Unfortunately, no one. My family's a throwaway kind of family.
Okay.
We really don't. Granted, I re-gift. I actually have a funny story. I was dating a girl in September, and I bought her this beautiful Carson Wentz jersey. And fortunate for me, we unfortunately stopped talking right before her birthday.
Uh-oh.
So you know for sure that I gave it to my new girlfriend.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Good timing.
Yeah.
So the re-gifting has gone really well in my heart, but for my family, not so much.
Yeah. And there are certain liabilities, too. If you, for example, if you had taken that Carson Wentz thing and you had wrapped it up and you had put a little card in it to your ex-girlfriend and forgot about it, that's where re-gifting can become a nightmare.
Yeah.
All right, but you didn't.
Back to the story of my grandfather, I mean, like, we used to get, like, ASPCA blankets, and we'd sit there, and he'd have it all, he'd pull out basically like a tub, and he's like, all right, it's time to re-gift. And he'd, like, start pulling stuff out. He's like, who wants this ASPCA blanket? Who wants this ASPCA
But that's swag, blanket? Actually. That's right. That's not even, like, the ASPCA didn't give it to him as a gift, right?
Oh, it was, like, he used to donate. If he could, he would donate all of his earnings, his whole pension. He would give it all to them, and he'd be homeless.
Okay. All right.
We all got nice presents this morning from Jackie Bam Bam. And Steve, I particularly liked yours. That
it's
Iron
awesome.
Man post that he got you was really cool.
Yeah, he got me. It's a cover of an Iron Man comic book exactly around the time that I first got into Iron Man. And it's Jackie is very thoughtful and does all that. And we, you know, what'd you get?
I got ice molds in the shape of a football.
Oh, cool. You like football.
That is kind of cool.
Kind of funny.
Yeah. Big fan of ice.
Yeah, I do like ice. It makes things cold.
And Preston, there's a new musical instrument you can start learning now.
Yes. What? Thank you, Jackie, by the way. He gave me a... it's a complete drum book, Learn the Drumming Basics, with over 100 drumming exercises. It's really nice. That's awesome. It's very thoughtful.
It is wonderful.
Did you get lingerie?
I need to brush up on the basics.
Kathy, did he get you lingerie?
No.
He's done that in the past.
No,
he hasn't.
No. Every year, he gets me a gift card to Victoria's Secret.
Is that what you got?
Really?
Every year.
Wow.
Okay. Yep.
There you go. That's very nice.
Listen, I buy a new bra every year, thanks to Jackie.
I'm going to go to Katie. Hi, Katie. Good morning.
Holiday festivities.
Ah, very good. Yes. Holiday activities. What's up, Katie?
We hold our annual re-gift party every year, my husband and I, and we're going on, I think we're on 18 years now, and it is a party that everybody looks forward to. And our rules are it must absolutely be a re-gift.
Okay.
It can't be something that you see and you're like, that would be an awesome re-gift, like you can't buy it.
Right.
So it definitely has to be a re-gift. It can be from your birthday. It could be from any holiday. It doesn't have to be Christmas.
Okay.
And some of the gifts have been fantastic, like a bottle of Jean-Tou, a used lottery ticket that was like a loser. Somebody brought like a broken Keurig because it was a gift, but it was broken and they decided to re-gift it.
Well, Katie, let me ask you, how are the rules? How do you end up with the gift? I mean, so you bring your gift, you bring your gifts, you want to re-gift, and then how did they get parsed out?
Yeah, so we do like the the pick a number, the white elephant where you pick a number.
All right.
And you can exchange, you can steal, but you touch the gift, you have to open it, but you can steal a gift or you can open a gift. And then after it's been stolen two times, then it's dead. Mm-hmm. And there's gifts, like I have one girlfriend that she left her re-gift in her car in the same packaging for the entire year.
And
she brought it back the next re-gift. It was
that's
fantastic.
Phenomenal.
That's great.
I should really do this. I usually find it, and I'm glad you brought up birthdays, Katie, because I will get lots of great gifts. There's a handful of them that I'm like, I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
They end up sitting in my closet until, right. And then all of a sudden my next birthday is coming up and I'm like, wow, I really should go back through this and see
sure,
if there's anything
yeah.
that I can use or not. I would love to re-gift some of this stuff.
But the one thing that you get that you love are your beer steins, right?
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I actually have, now I do like them, believe it or not.
More beer steins.
One of the re-gifts that keeps showing up is a game. It's like a little board game. I think it must have been for like a bachelorette party or something, and the game is called No, He Didn't. Everybody's afraid to open it because everybody wants to keep re-gifting it, but
No, He Didn't.
Great.
I love that.
And nobody's.
No, he didn't.
Nobody's ever played the game.
No, I think maybe that'll be like this year's surprise. Is okay. That we'll actually play the game.
I think we need to order. No, he didn't for the show and play it. Yeah, I love it.
Thanks for the idea, right. Katie. I like that.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. I love that. I want to do a re-gifting party.
Yeah, me too.
Great do you want to do? You want to do it after our holidays here?
Yeah.
We'll have it live on air.
Yeah, we could do that.
But I want to get the rules specific.
Yep.
So that we're doing it right with this. The two times to re-gift and you can claim or steal. Do you know it? All right.
Yeah.
Because I don't know any of it.
All right, I wanted to bring this story up. This is we need a good
feel good.
It's sad, but it's beautiful at the same time. But this is really Christmas, and a wonderful thing. When Owen Williams opened the door of his home, he couldn't believe his eyes. The daughter of his elderly neighbor Ken, who had recently died, was clutching a large plastic bag, and Williams assumed that it was garbage that she wanted him to throw away.
Right.
Instead, the sack contained all of the Christmas gifts that Ken, the man who died, bought for this guy's 2-year-old daughter for the next 14 years.
Wow.
He knew he was going to die.
Yeah.
So he went out and he bought Christmas gifts for this little girl next door for the next 14 years.
And appropriately aging the gifts for...
It's a good question.
Like not getting a rattle for her when she's 13.
I don't know. Williams said he was talking about his daughter. He said she was quite emotional. The woman whose father passed away said she was quite emotional. She said these are presents for Katie for the next few Christmases. And she said she was quite emotional. He said, I got a big lump in my throat. And he said it was like a Mary Poppins bag. The presents just kept coming and coming. It's actually unbelievable Christmas story. He had said when Ken was 83, he was 83 years old when they first moved in beside him 2 years ago. Ken was bouncing a 20-foot ladder across the face of his house. He was trying to do some work on it, and he had come over and started talking to him. He said he met his neighbor for the first time. He said he was on top of the ladder, trying to get one scaffold on the other across the floor. And apparently they became friends. He said he eventually came down the ladder. I gave him a bottle of wine. My dog came out to meet him, and he gave him some treats, and the dog fell in love with him ever since. And then William said that they did open one of the presents, a children's book, but are unsure what to do about the rest. Many people weighed in on Twitter thread.
Make some money.
Right? I mean, you probably a lot of money off that stuff.
You ruined it.
I thought you were going to ruin it before.
What happened to the gifts? Oh, we sold them. What? Did you not hear the story that I... Did you not hear what I told you?
Yeah, no, it's nice.
No, we had a great meal.
One meal.
Yeah.
Honestly, I thought the story was going to go south when you started with.
I was holding back.
Had a bag, you know, in his hand. In
his head is in it. No, but that.
It was his head.
Yeah. No.
My granddaughter.
That's a wonderful story.
My grandfather wanted your daughter to have his body.
Yeah. To play with. He couldn't afford a toy, but. Jesus Christ. I'm just curious as to what he was getting, you know, over the years. I guess if they do it right in the honor of his memory, they'll open up each gift as she gets older. But we hope that he was doing, again, you don't want a pacifier when she's 16.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure he did.
The hell is this?
I'm sure they did some good stuff. Hey, so we're running out of time to get to topics that I'm gonna end up throwing all this stuff away if we don't get to it now. But there's a list, and we are going to play Christmas Cookie Cove in just a moment.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But long lost words to revive this Christmas. Okay. So these are traditionally songs used around the holiday, or song, not songs, words used around the holidays that have since gone.
I love this because I'm a fan of as I said before, Dickensian Christmas and old English phrases and things that have gone away. So lay it on us.
All right. I'll just give you a few of them. Ningguid. Yeah.
What the hell is that?
You
is when you fart and there's a spray.
Oh, okay.
No.
It's like liquid, but it's Ningguid.
Ningguid. No. It is a landscape that is snow-covered.
Ooh, a Ningguid.
It's what your walk to work looks like over the festive period. You might also need to know that...
Snow-covered landscape sounds more romantic than Ningguid.
Yeah, that to meggle is to trudge laboriously through the snow.
Hmm. It sounds like a Harry Potter
word. Yeah, it does.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, it's Latin.
Okay.
It's derived from Latin. Let's see here. Crump.
Crump?
Yeah.
When you crap into a breast pump.
No.
Oh.
It actually has to do with walking on partially frozen snow. It's that sound that you make.
Oh. Your crump bum.
When the top layer is kind of icy.
Crump.
You love that sound, don't you, Preston?
Oh, it's a good one.
Yeah.
It's definitely a good one. Yep.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. Those things are called crampons, right? The things that
that's when you have your period.
Oh.
Okay. Yes.
Crampons are ice shoes.
You attach your
ice shoes. Yeah. All right. Because I heard crump and I was hearing crampon for some reason.
Hi, mate.
How you greet your wife.
No.
Hi, mate.
Hibernate is sleeping through the entire winter. Hi, mate is to spend winter somewhere. So we're gonna hi, mate down in Florida.
Oh, all right.
Like snowbird it.
Yeah, exactly. Yule shard.
These are not as pleasant as I would hope.
Yeah,
that they would conjure imagery of glowing candles and Father Christmas. What is it? Yule shard?
Yule shard.
Oh, my God. So get this. I'm in the foyer, and I thought I'm just going to shard, but a Yule shard.
It's when you shard during Christmas?
Do you have a change of pants? I can't leave the party now, but everyone will know, but I just Yule sharded.
No, it's another word just for the festive period. Yule comes from via Old English from jol, or y'all, I guess so, an ancient Scandinavian word for a series of end-of-year festivals, festivities. A Yule shard is someone who leaves a lot of work still to be done on Christmas Eve night. Oh, that's what that is? A Yule shard.
I am not a Yule shard.
Okay. No work left to do.
No, you want to savor every second of it. You want to have everything. So I'm going to be doing my wrapping tonight.
Okay. How about this one? A Yule hole.
Yes.
That's what we're saying.
You freaking Yule hole.
No. No, it's in the bathroom at the North Pole.
Yeah.
And in the men's
bathroom.
That's
where you take a Yule shard.
Oh, it is hole?
Yeah, Yule hole.
Oh, I thought you said
I just
hole.
Dropped a Yule shard in the Yule hole.
No, Yule hole. No, it's the hole between the stalls.
Ah.
Yes, that's what it is, the Yule hole.
What's your rent when you move into college?
So, it says that the Yule hole is... you need to move your belt to after you've eaten a massive meal.
It's like a Yulegina.
It's a lot like that.
Okay, so when you've eaten a lot, you have to undo your belt just one little
hole. Yeah, one. Yeah. You move it over to the Yule hole.
Or else you'll Yule shard in your pants.
Doniferous.
Doniferous.
Yes.
Doniferous.
Can I get the origin of the word sentence, please?
You. Doniferous. D-I-niferous.
No, it's D-O.
Okay, Doniferous.
Yeah.
Doniferous.
Okay. If you are doniferous, then you're carrying a present. The act of offering a present is called oblation.
Yes. That I have heard.
Which originally was, and in some contexts still is, a religious term referring specifically to the presentation of money or donation of goods to the church. But Since the 15th century, it's been used more loosely to refer to the action of offering or presenting any gift or donation, or in particular, a gratuity.
Then what is the locomotion?
Deniferous. It's a brand new dance.
Yeah. Come on, baby.
Porbori.
Porbori.
Yes.
It's someone who is not wealthy.
Nope.
But is a young child.
No.
He's a porbori.
It's...
Come over here. I want a Yule shard in your face.
Oh, my God.
No. A tip or donation of cash intended to be spent on drink is a porbori.
Porbori. As in P-O-U-R?
French, literally for drink. Money given in lieu of a gift, meanwhile, has been known as a present silver.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Whatever. All right. Toe cover.
These are really horrible names.
It's usually called panties.
Toe cover?
Yeah.
Right. I do know.
No, a toe cover is a cheap and totally useless present. Something you would re-gift, probably.
I guess, yeah. A toe cover.
Zennium.
Zennium. It's what Steven Singer sells.
By the way, toe cover was used back in the 1940s. No, that's Argentine.
Oh.
All right. Zennium is a gift given to a house guest or a gift given by a guest to their host. So that's called a zennium.
How do you spell it? Is it X or Z?
X. Okay. X-E-N-I-U.
Zennium is a very futuristic sound.
Scurry fungi.
Scurry fungi.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
All right, scurry. I won't even guess. It's the other ones have been so outlandish.
Probably distantly related to words like scour or scourge. Scurry fungi first appeared in the late 18th century with meanings of to lash or, depending on religion, to scour. By the mid-1900s, however, things had changed, perhaps in allusion to scrubbing or working hard enough to abrade a surface. Scurry fungi came to mean to hastily tidy a house.
To scurry fungi.
Okay. Yeah, so you got to hurry up and clean up.
Guests are coming. We need to scurry fungi.
We'll be doing that today.
You little shards.
Yeah, my daughter has a little birthday thing going on this evening.
So there will be scurry fungi?
Definitely.
I scurry fungi every day.
Do you? Yes, I'm sure you do. Do you have someone come in once a week to scurry fungi as well?
Every other week, yes.
Okay, yeah.
They deep,
your professional
they
scurry, deep scurry fungi.
All right, here's another word, qualtog.
Qualtog.
And by the way, these are words. These are
names. Qualtog.
These are long lost.
I come from the mountains.
Holiday words.
That sounds like a drink to me.
Qualtog was actually borrowed into English in the 1800s from Manx, the Celtic origin language spoken on the Isle of Man. And
man, what a language!
And it was on the Isle of Man that festive tradition dictates that the identity of the first person you see or the first person to enter your house on Christmas or New Year morning will have some bearing on the events of the year to come. And in Manx culture, the person you meet on that early morning encounter is called the Qualtog.
So the first person you meet on those days will sort of set the tone or is a harbinger of things to come for the next year.
Yeah, I guess so. Qualtog.
Interesting.
We don't have time.
We got to go.
Can we do Christmas Cookie Cove or no?
What about Pudfinger?
No, we can't do. We'll have to do Cookie Cove when we come back.
All right, then I'm doing one more because I can't let this one go. Crapulence.
Crapulence.
Yes.
Crapulence is a legitimate word. I've heard it, and I forget what the definition is.
Once all the festivities dust and New Year's confetti is settled, here's a word.
I got to take a crap.
For the morning after the night before. Crapulence, as the Oxford English Dictionary puts it, is an 18th century word for sickness or indisposition resulting from excess in drinking or eating.
So sick, I have total crapulence.
So if you have crapulence, you got to move over to the Yule hole.
Yeah. All right. It's your level of volatility, I guess. All crapulence.
Right. So spread these words.
Wow, those are less romantic than I had hoped.
Yeah, well, you know.
It is what it is.
It is what's, you know, you get what you get.
You get what you get.
Don't get upset. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, I'd love to give you a Boston Market $50 gift card, and we'll take caller number 18 at 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget, Boston Market delivers. Just go to bostonmarket.com or the app to place your order and have a complete meal on your table quickly without cooking or even leaving the house. So caller 18 will give you a $50 gift card and you can do that. 215-263-WMMR. Coming back in a moment. Stay with us.
Here's your holiday programming guide from WMMR. While you scamper to and fro, tying up those loose ends, hear our holiday soundtrack to turn that humbug into happy. Starting with Pierre Robert's Christmas Eve Radio Spectacular, Monday starting at 10 a.m. Pierre's Standard Time, followed by Jackson's Holiday Ho 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 Down and Jackie Bam Bam's Santa Tracker Show, taking us right up to midnight, wishing you the merriest of Christmases and happiest of holidays from all your friends at 93.3 WMMR.
Let's do Christmas at Christmas Cookie Co.
The holiday, well, first year debut, but yeah. Hopefully it'll become a holiday classic.
We'll see. Let's begin. Here we go.
And now, Preston and Steve, in association with the Hallmark Channel, present Christmas at Cookie Cove. For driven career girl Tori Torrenson, an unexpected stop in Christmas Cookie Cove was the last thing she needed.
Hello? Hello? Is someone here? I'm an executive for a large pharmaceutical company heading to a meeting, and my car just got stuck outside of your town, Christmas Cookie Cove.
Whoops, sorry, I didn't hear you, ma'am. I was outside taking a dump in the creek.
Oh, no. Don't tell me your bathroom is broken.
No, it's working just fine. Ah, where are my manners? The name's Lauer, Gary Lauer.
Oh, my God, he's a dreamboat. Keep it together, girl.
Well, Mr. Lauer.
Please call me Stick Shift Swifty Shifty Lauer.
His sexy bugged-out eyes look like two bloodshot Christmas ornaments, and the spit spray from his mouth is creating a rainbow under his nose. I think I'm falling in love.
Well, Mr. Lauer, my car is stuck in a snowbank down on Mistletoe Road. Could you arrange to have me towed?
You know what I like? When lesbians are doing the daisy chain, and then they flip over.
Excuse me?
I said no can do. The closest tow truck is in Garland Reef, Slave Bell, Candy Cane, Nutcracker County. And with this snow, the earliest they can get here is tomorrow.
Well, then it looks like I'll be needing a room for the night at your hotel.
No problem. I'll need your name and credit card, please.
It's Tori. Tori Torrenson.
Well, pleased to meet you. Tori Pori Pumpkin Pie Torrenson.
Please don't do that.
Later that afternoon, Tori and Gary share some eggnog while sitting by a cozy fire.
And so, after my wife passed away, I took my daughter, Amy Fisher Lauer, and set down roots here in Christmas Cookie Cove.
I'm so sorry. Had she been sick?
No, her heart just stopped. After the train hit her, hit her in the car, which then exploded.
Oh, no.
And to this day, I can't help but feel that I was somehow responsible.
Oh, no, no, no. How could you be?
Well, I was the one who waved her across the train tracks. I was looking the wrong way because I was super drunk and coked up.
Well, I guess we all have regrets. You see, I feel as if my drive for a career has made me miss out on a turnkey family in a rustic small town where Christmas still matters.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? I was distracted because you're nipping big time.
Soon, evening rolled around, and Christmas Cookie Cove came alive with the sights and sounds of the holidays. Gary decided to take Tori into town for Christmas Cookie Cove's annual Christmas Cookie and Christmas Candy and Christmas Candy Cane Contest Convention and Carnival.
Oh, Gary, your town is so beautiful. I just love it.
Yeah, it is pretty great. And there's always a shitload of cookies.
Well, look at these two lovebirds.
Hey, Dottie, how are you? Tori, this is my Aunt Dottie. Double dip Dottie dot 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 dotson.
That's that little name thing you always do. Tori, could I steal you away from Gary for just a second? Of course.
Uh-oh. You know what they say. You better set the walking when the bitches start squawking. Ladies, I'll go get us some cocoa.
Ah, he's quite a young man, Tori. But I hope you know there's more to him than just picking bits of whatever he ate out of your hair. In many ways, he's like an onion. And mostly because he smells like an onion. Yeah, he's very, very special. I think I'm hearing something in your voice more than just the sounds of general disgust. You love Gary, don't you? Is it that obvious? As obvious as the long and winding drool stain down the front of his sweater. You need to tell him. You're right. I will. Thank you, Aunt Dottie.
Well, I'm back. To be honest, I forgot why I left and where I was going and where this is and who I am.
Gary, I need to tell you something. I've fallen in love with you. Now, I know it's all moving so fast, and I would understand if maybe you don't...
Stop talking and listen.
I wanted you to hear that. I baked that Christmas cookie with my heart.
Oh, Gary.
And so, love had come to Christmas Cookie Cove, and soon everybody would be talking about Gary and Tori, and where Gary had more than likely buried Tori. From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
Yes, yes.
So heartwarming.
That's beautiful. I...
so much I love it.
I wanted you to hear that. and by the way, kudos to you, Steve, for number one, writing and producing that, but coaching Gary through his lines. I only saw a small portion of it as I walked through the studio, and like some of the most simple things, Casey, you pointed out that he had a hard time with saying the phrase "no can do,"
no can do,
as if he had never heard "no can do"
can
before.
Can we play some of that?
We have it. We'll have to skip Pituation and play that. In a moment.
We'll put him at the end.
All right,
okay. Not at the end of this, but after the song.
All right, so here's some of the outtakes.
I'll put this in perspective. So, now mind you, Kathy had markedly less lines, but got Kathy done in about 5 minutes. Gary is the star. He has certainly a lot of lines.
Yeah.
What was the case? About an hour?
No. Less than that. About 35 to 40 minutes.
For a 4-minute bit.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what we are going to hear.
Sarah is the love interest. She took about 6 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know what we're going to hear here, but there were times where you were saying, okay, Gary, repeat after me.
Oh, yeah.
repeat these words.
He wasn't repeating. What was he doing?
And so you would go, "We are going," and then he would go, "To the store." And I'm like, "No, Gary, is that in there, Marissa?"
He would give the next line.
Yeah.
Repeat after me.
And Gary, all you have to do is say exactly what I'm saying the way I'm saying it.
Yeah, and I had to, at one point, go across the board and take the script out of his hands because he kept
reading
the next line.
And he had his jam in, but his teeth, but and he goes, but there were certain words like explode. But to his credit, that's a pretty good performance in the skit.
We have some of the all session right. If you want to hear this. So this is
that's him clearing his throat.
Gary, you're a guy who owns a bed and breakfast.
I got you. Come on, we'll nail this. Come on, that ain't my first period. Yeah.
Don't
oh, I know.
I'll say it and you repeat it right after me. It'll work out great. Whoops! Sorry, I didn't hear the bell, man. I was outside taking a dump in the creek.
Whoops! Sorry, man. I didn't hear the bell. I was outside taking a dump in the creek.
Whoops. Sorry. We'll take it in pieces. Whoops. Sorry, I didn't hear the bell, man.
I was outside taking a dump in the creek.
No. After me the way I'm doing.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Where are my manners?
Where's my manners?
Where are my manners?
Where are my manners?
We're going to take it chunk by chunk. Okay. Where are my manners?
Where are my manners? The names...
You don't go into the next line.
Okay.
Line after line.
Okay. Shotgun Steve Morrison over here.
Okay, so please call me Stick Shift Swifty Shifter Lauer.
Please call me Stick Shifty Swifty
Lauer.
Call me Stick Shifty Swifty Shifter Lauer.
Call me Stick Shift Swifty Shifter Lauer.
Steve, you're insane.
We'll do it in chunks. Please call me Stick Shift
Swifty Shifter.
This is it.
Roger it.
Please call me Stick Shifty Swifty Shifter Lauer.
Now, if you see, the words are not that.
Yeah, I
call me
Stick Shift Swifty Shifty Lauer. Stick Shift Swifty Shifty Lauer.
Call me Stick Shift
Swifty Shifty. Oh, Swifty. Stick Shift Swifty Shifter Lauer.
Say what he's saying.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Exactly what I'm saying. Please call me Stick Shift.
Please call me Stick Shift.
Swifty Shifty.
Shift.
Swifty Shifty.
Shifter.
Swifty Shifty.
Swifty Shifty.
All right.
No. I'm going to do it, too. I'm going to do it. Swifty Shifty. Call me Stick Shifty. Pardon.
One more time.
Please call me Stick Shift Swifty Shifter Lauer.
Yeah! He did it!
And I high-fived him. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Holy cow. You're doing great. You know what I like?
You know what I like?
lesbians are doing a daisy chain.
When lesbians are doing the daisy chain. When the lesbians are doing the daisy chain.
And then they flip over.
And when they, and then they flip over. And then they flip over. When lesbians are doing the daisy chain and when they flip over.
When lesbians are doing a daisy chain and then they flip over.
When lesbians are doing a daisy chain when they flip over. When lesbians are doing the flip. Damn it. It's a beautiful thing, the daisy chain, man. I can't get it out.
Oh, now he's just coming.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, the daisy chain, man. I can't get it out of my head.
Okay, you're doing great. I said no can do.
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 The closest tow truck.
The closest tow truck.
Is in Garland, Wreath, Sleighbell, Candy Cane, Nutcracker County.
Shut up.
By the way, let me ask you a question.
Shut up.
Is he reading any of this? Is this written down in front of him?
It's written, but I was literally just telling in word chunks. So all you have to do is repeat it in those chunks.
But you're giving it to him for inflection.
Yes.
But he has it written down.
Script as well, yeah.
No man, Steve, you are a saint. I don't know how you made it through this.
Right. Somebody on the text board said, I don't know how Steve didn't start drinking after this.
Packer County.
Shut up. Candy cane nut bucket. County?
Nut bucket. Candy cane nut bucket.
I mean, he sees words on the script that aren't even there.
Nut bucket.
Nut bucket.
Oh, that's a great, it's a new term.
Give me the script back.
Did you say nut bucket?
Nutcracker. It's Christmas, dude.
I said no can.
That's Casey in the background. It's Christmas, man. It's Nutcracker.
The closest to.
Well, you're going to repeat
that's right. I'm sorry. I follow you again. Go ahead.
I said no can do.
I said no. Can do.
Daisy, were you angry?
I knew when we were going to do it that I was going to get him doing each line 100 times because that would
I had to back this.
That would up the ante as far as me getting what I needed in clusters.
Let me go back to the no can do thing.
No can do.
I said no can do. I said no can do. The closest tow truck is in Garland, Wreath, Sleighbell, Candy Cane, Nutcracker County.
You're getting there, man. Everybody knows?
Yes. May I please?
Yeah, sure.
I have enough. That's why. Can I
maybe you just want to. Kathy's use your blanket.
Yes! Oh my god.
Blow your nose in Kathy's blanket.
Oh my god.
Yeah, use your blanket.
Oh, sweet tail. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Now you got a little thing going. There's a little sexual chemistry.
Tori Pori.
Well, pleased to meet you. What? Say, how are you?
How are you?
In case it doesn't. How are you? It doesn't. All right.
Pleased to meet you.
You're saying it that way.
Instead of you. Pleased to meet you.
Now Preston's here, right?
Now I jump in. I'm trying to give him the inflection piece to meet you, to hit me.
You're saying it that way.
Instead of you. Pleased to meet you.
Pleased to meet you. Okay. Well, pleased to meet you.
So that's him practicing it. He says it right.
Right, and then does it wrong.
And then he gets fully on the mic and he can't say it. So
you're saying it that way.
Instead of you. Pleased to meet you.
Pleased to meet you. Okay. Well, pleased to meet you.
No, not going up.
Say pleased to meet you. Say pleased to meet you.
Well, pleased to meet you.
Oh, my God.
Well, pleased to meet you.
Yeah! You just got it.
Got you, Dad.
Tori Pori Pumpkin Pie Torrenson?
Tori Pori Pumpkin Pie Torrenson.
That's excellent. You got to nail that. Okay, now you're excited. Smitten with her.
Oh, yeah, I'm smitten.
All right.
Tori Pori Pumpkin Pie Torrenson.
Now you're sitting in front of a cozy fire.
Oh, kids are made that way.
Now you're emotional. To this day.
Wait, what was that?
That's disgusting.
Kids are made that way.
Oh, kids are made that
way. He's talking about sitting in front of the fire.
Tori Pori Pumpkin Pie Torrenson.
Now you're sitting in front of a cozy fire.
Oh, kids are made that way.
Now you're emotional. And to this day, I can't help but feel that I was somehow responsible.
One take. And to this day, I can't help but feel that I was somehow responsible. You put too many S's in stuff that kills me.
All right, you're remorseful. I was looking the wrong way.
I was looking the wrong way.
We're almost finished, Gary. Yeah, it is pretty great. And there's always a shitload of cookies.
I could say that.
Yeah, well, I'll beep it. All right, you just take it line by line. Dottie, how are you?
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 You're excited. Hey!
Hey, Dottie, how are you?
Excellent. One more time.
Dottie, hi, how are you?
This is another tongue twister, but you got
to I can see that now. Tori, this is my Aunt Dottie.
Oh, my God.
Double dip Dottie dot Dotson.
That's actually pretty good. Do it one more time like that. With a little, put a little more Lowry.
Oh, I could do that.
All
right. Don't, wait. I could do that.
I could do that.
Put a little more Lowry.
Oh, I could do that. All right. Double dip dot Dottie dot Dotson.
Pretty f***ing good. All right. All right. And now she's...
I know.
God, those gnarly coughs.
Yeah, it's...
Wow. Gary doesn't smoke, does he?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, he does.
Oh, he does?
All right. Oh. Now she's trying to tell you she loves you, and you're going to go, shh, shh, shh,
shh, shh. Stop talking and listen. I baked that Christmas cookie with my heart.
Got it. Yes, thank you.
When are we going to hear this?
All right, and that's it, man. Those are the outtakes from Christmas at Christmas Cookie Cove.
And how long did that take?
It seemed like an hour. Casey says about 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it felt a lot longer than it was, but still, it was... It was 36 minutes and change.
And we chopped out a whole bunch. Oh. I mean, there's really at one point where I just kept saying over and over and over and over.
Wait a minute. Sarah Parker's on the line, who is the love interest in Christmas Cookie Cove. Hey, Sarah.
I've been sitting in the Wawa parking lot for the past 10 minutes listening to this, and I just want to defend my love interest, Gary Lauer, because I think he did a fantastic job.
He did, yes, he did.
That was their first time, and also Steve Morrison is a saint and also insane. So, well, I just wanted to make sure everyone knew that.
Are you happy with the finished product, Sarah?
I am so happy with it. I have had so many Facebook messages, texts, comments about it. It's a new holiday classic, and I can't wait to hear it every year on repeat.
Thank you. And I'll also remind people, if it's a parody of what I love. I watch all those Hallmark cheesy romantic holiday movies. I'm going to be watching a bunch of them this weekend. So that's what it's a direct parody of. There may be a sequel at some point. We never know. Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Ooh, I'd be into that.
Yeah. Excellent. All right, have a Merry Christmas, Sarah.
Hey, you guys too.
All right, we'll see you later. That's awesome. All right. We have to break, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me give away a case of beer for sitting through that. In fact, I'll give away two of them. I will give away a to caller 10 and 11 Yards Variety Pack, 215-263-WMMR. The holidays, great time to get together with family and friends. This year, bring cheer, bring beer. And bring Yards Variety Pack. You can find Yards at Exton Beverage in Exton, PA. You can also find Yards at Ridley Beverage in Crumlin, PA.
Crumlin.
All right, 215-263-WMMR. By the way, Gary's outtakes have been added to the Christmas Cookie Cove page on PrestonSteve.com.
There you go.
If you want to hear those. We'll take a break and be right back. Stay with us.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
Frosty the Snowman. Oh, is this time yet? Frosty the Snowman knew the sun was hot that day. So he said, let's run and we'll have some fun now before I melt away. Down to the village with a broomstick in his hand. Running here. Oh, that's the end. Because it stops. Did you know it stops? I was not made aware that it stops.
So good. Former intern of the Preston and Steve Show, the Pituation, Rich Liebing. And his voice, when it cracks, it stays there. And so we had him sing that song. And, of course, he was not made aware that the song stops. And,
not made aware, though. Not made aware that the song stops.
I love it. And before that, we played a song for the one and only Chuck D'Amico. His birthday is today. And Chuck, along with me, is a big, big Triumph fan, so we sent Magic Power out to him.
Love that.
It's a great song about how hearing one song can just turn things around for you. And it can happen. There's a little bit of magic power in the music.
Well, you know, I have fond memories of driving around. It's the first Dodge. It's the first car I had that had a cassette player in it. It was a Dodge Dart. Mm-hmm. And that was, I played the crap out of that. I think they had a best of album.
Yeah.
And I'd play that all the freaking time.
Yep. Great stuff. So happy birthday to Chuck. Okay, so we skipped the bizarre file, so we'll do a shorter version of it now. And then we'll do trash and music news and all that good stuff. So here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, B-File. Let's do that thing. It's brought to you this morning by Robbins Diamonds, a tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax. Versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins, Delaware, Diamonds. Tuesday was the wrong day to mess with Tahisha Jones. She was captured on video taking matters into her own hands after discovering a man tried to steal her car.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, she said, I just kept hitting him saying, you was trying to steal my car. Like, really? Are you serious?
Oh, no, you didn't.
Jones was preparing to take her son to school when her 5-year-old noticed that someone was inside her car. She said, as I got closer, I see the guy in the driver's seat bending down over like something was in there. And I don't know what happened. I blacked out after that. I couldn't tell you. I just went into a rage.
She went beast mode.
Yeah. Now, the commotion got the attention of Katie Mack, who was in her apartment. And she said, when I looked out the window, I saw the woman pulling a guy out of her truck, throwing him on the floor and beating him.
Wow. Good for her.
So Mack shot video of Jones and the suspect, police said, is 19-year-old Bernardino Santiago. And she said, and then he tried to get away, so he tried to take off his shirt, and that's when I sat down on him, Jones said.
You think that he would have been able to get away. I mean, she had no, like, weapons. She didn't have, she was just holding him her hands and then sitting on him.
Sheer willpower, Kathy.
Yep,
she was determined.
She sat on him until police arrived. It was hours before Jones saw the video, most of which she really doesn't remember, she said. Her car,
she just got so enraged.
Her car had been vandalized twice in recent weeks, and she said, I saved to get that car myself. I'm a single parent, and I saved to get that.
Hardworking person, yeah. Needs the vehicle. Here comes this bastard. She wasn't going to have any of it.
And she has a heart condition and uses a walker, but apparently her adrenaline kicked
it didn't matter.
She stopped
beat his ass.
We're watching the video of it right now, dude. She's just not letting him up.
Word better not get out in prison.
Good for her.
A woman with a heart condition beat his ass.
Christmas was supposed to come early for an inmate at a state prison in Indiantown, and said his wife and daughter are in jail now, too. The sheriff's office said that the two of them used a drone to try and deliver tobacco and cell phones to the rooftop of the inmate's housing Sunday morning. Staff at the Correctional Institute saw a drone hovering near the rooftop of one of the inmate housing centers around 1:30 a.m., possibly dropping a package off. Around the same time, corrections officers saw a black pickup truck rolling slowly down the road just in front of the center. Deputies and corrections officers caught up with the truck about a mile from the center. Conceita Didano was driving. Her mother, Cassandra Kerr, was in the passenger seat. Kerr initially told deputies the pair had driven driven the nearly 200 miles from their home so she could teach her daughter how to drive a truck.
Let's go out this afternoon. We'll do a 200 or 300 mile drive.
And then I'll let you drive.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Around the same time, another vehicle near the front of the gate of the prison had run into a drone and corrections officers and had discovered a package containing contraband. Their story changed and they found out, sure enough, they were trying to fly one of those into the prison.
Please take these cigarettes to my boyfriend.
Let's see. Oh, how about this one? A Winnipeg doctor has been suspended for 5 months after he had performed circumcisions on multiple young patients in an inappropriate manner, including two cases where patients were taken to the emergency room in life-threatening conditions.
Oh, man. That's where you want someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, Dr. Ejaz Ahmad performed 18 circumcisions at his private clinic between June of 2016 and July 2017 using an out-of-date surgical technique associated with a higher risk of complication.
Ah, God almighty.
At least six of the procedures resulted in the young patients being taken to the emergency room, including one where a portion of the patient's penis had to be amputated. In that case and another, Ahmed had asked the parents of the child to lie to doctors at the emergency room and say that it was not he who performed the procedure.
Yeah. You're going to have to put that in the bad patient experience when you're asking them to lie for you.
Yeah, he told doctors in one instance the procedure had been performed by a traditional man.
Do me a favor, tell him I didn't do it.
In its decision, the
we'll glue that part of your penis back on.
Says Ahmad's professional misconduct caused harm, in some cases potentially serious harm to his patients.
Well, now it's time for dentistry.
All right, and I guess we got to wrap it up there, right, Case?
Yeah, man. Okay. For the year, yeah.
Yeah, we got to wrap that up.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry about the short one there, gang. All right, so we're gonna do today's lesson question today. We're gonna give away a $50 United Tire and Service gift card, and the question we are asking is: who is Julie Andrews playing in Aquaman, according to Steve?
It's true.
215-263-WMMR. That's from earlier this morning. Who is Julie Andrews playing in Aquaman, according to Steve? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now, and we shall do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, and it's brought to you by Longwood Gardens. Visit a Longwood Christmas now through January 6th. Time to tickets required at longwoodgardens.org. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Kanye West leaving the Travis Scott concert right before he performed the song Sicko Mode as an overt diss to his nemesis Drake. You follow me here? West says he wanted to send a message and also make it home in time for Shrek the Halls.
Oh, my God.
Tabloids erroneously claiming that Julie Andrews hates Emily Blunt because she believes she's stealing her legacy as Mary Poppins. All the nonsense started when Andrews actually sent Blunt an encouraging note reading, quote, "Screw this up and I'll rip open your coot like a bag of Doritos."
Oh, my God.
You know, as I read it, it actually seems like she was upset.
Wow. Yeah.
And finally, after 2 weeks in rehab, Lil Xan, I know he's one of your favorites, Preston, Lil Xan saying that his breakup with Noah Cyrus is a good part of the reason he went down the road to addiction. Lil Xan says Cyrus understood him better than anyone and could always read his face because he has words on his face. And that's your Hollywood track.
Oh, God. I love it. All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this. Who is Julie Andrews playing in Aquaman, according to Steve? 215-263-WMMR, the number. And I'm going to go to Jeff, see if he knows the answer. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Preston.
Jeff, do you happen to know who
Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Almost said, you know who Mary Poppins is playing in Aquaman.
Jeff got it. He knew it. Hang on a second, buddy. We're going to get you and set you up with a $50 United Tire and Service gift card. Do you drive United through December 31st? See the pros at your neighborhood United Tire and Service and get up to $200 in rebates on select sets of four Goodyear tires. See UnitedTire.com for details. We will now do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
And this morning is brought to you by Bob and Ron's Worldwide Stereo. This year, get a gift they're going to remember. See Worldwide Stereo's awesome gift guide at worldwidestereo.com. Or you can head to their stores in Montgomeryville and Ardmore. We'll begin with Shinedown. The bassist, Eric Bass, revealed in a new interview that the band's latest LP, Attention, Attention, is actually the first album that he and his bandmates have ever written sober.
What?
Yeah. The follow-up to 2015's Threat to Survival touches lyrically upon singer Brent Smith's former drug addiction and Bass's depression.
All right, quick question. He's a bassist.
His name is Bass.
And his last name is Bass, or is it Bass?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
It would be, but I'm going to go with Bass.
Okay.
But it may be Bass. I don't really know.
Might be time to change it.
So he explained there was no drugs, no alcohol for any of us. And I know Brent. It's well documented, his struggles. But writing, that cloud, sometimes helps creativity. I used to go into writing sessions after having taken some hydrocodone or something because it took the edge off or whatever. It was ridiculous now that I think about it. Bass continued by saying it's that fear of not succeeding. So he and I talked going into this about how everything we need is inside of us. Everything he needs for his lyrics is inside of him. Everything I need for music and melody is inside me. And so we did. We wrote this thing sober. But in that, it took longer sometimes. It took a longer time sometimes. Shinedown is going to embark on a U.S. headlining tour in February. They'll be at the MMRBQ, which is pretty damn cool. So happy to hear those guys are doing well.
Yes.
Volbeat has entered into the studio to begin recording its new album for a tentative early 2019 release. Guitarist Rob Caggiano said that it's definitely not going to be the same thing as last record or the record before it. It'll be slightly different. Obviously,
he's saying that this new project will not be exactly the same as the first two projects, and that he's going to change it a bit to make it more worthwhile to buy.
He says
replicating the second one would have made it
problematic.
Especially if you already owned it.
You already owned that one.
Obviously.
It's the second album again.
We're right smack in the middle of it right now, so it's hard to say, but it definitely has a big rock feel to it, which I think is a cool thing.
I wonder, when you piece together anything like that, you know, we were playing the outtakes of just this Christmas or Christmas Cookie Cove. When you're musicians and you're putting together, when you're sussing out how songs or an entire album is going to come together, how much, I mean, the incredible amount of work.
Yeah.
It's going to be incredibly daunting.
And you can obsess over it, too. You know, some people get... too perfect.
How are you?
How are you? I'm always curious how musicians make a final decision of it's done now. When they're tinkering with things and mixing and sound and adding this and that, how do you know that song is finished?
You turn it over to the producer.
Well, I think it was the Jimmy Iovine documentary, but there was a part where he was working on Born to Run with Bruce, and Bruce was obsessive about it, and it was a masterpiece. So he was rightfully obsessive about it, but it took forever and ever and ever to get it done.
There's a version of a Bruce song that's live that Pierre plays every now and then, and Kevin Gunn tells a story. It was originally called Wings and Wheels, and eventually turns into...
Thunder Road?
I think it might be Thunder Road.
Yeah.
How did he know that song wasn't done?
Right.
That it needed to be changed. It was a complete song already. Yeah. And then he turned it into this massive hit by tweaking a couple of things.
In Jungle Land, he let Clarence do the sax part, and then he put that into the song. Bruce selected where the sax solo was going to go.
Oh, wow.
And it's a masterpiece.
This one's called Butts and Nuts.
Rethink that one.
Butts and Nuts.
But it's kind of like the same idea as like a painter. When is that last stroke?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I think I'm done. Wait, one more. Squeeze a little bit more.
It couldn't be my matchup.
Oh, seriously.
Oh, we were going two different strokes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, not
the brain stroke. Stroking me.
Mm. I'm moving on. Slash revealed.
This one is called Stroking Me.
Billy Squire song, isn't it?
Slash revealed in an interview that one of the songs on his new album, Living the Dream, titled The One You Loved Is Gone, was originally intended for the TV series The Walking Dead. We still need to talk about that.
Really?
Slash said, I wrote the intro for The Walking Dead because at that time, The Walking Dead didn't really have any other music outside of its music score. And so I was trying to push them to play an original song on there, but they wouldn't go for it.
You walk because you're dead, baby!
He said they don't want to have any recognizable existing names as part of the Walking Dead world, and so it never happened, but it...
Welcome to Atlanta! You're the Walking Dead!
He said it was always a good musical idea, he said. But the lyrics became something completely different by the time we recorded it in 2018.
Are you scared?
And then one last story. Paul Stanley posted on Twitter that he and his R&B covers band, Soul Station, are currently in the studio. The Kiss co-founder posted a Soul Station album. Wow, having a ball. Horns and strings next. During the course of their assorted Southern California gigs over the past few years, Stanley and the band stayed far away from Kiss material by tackling only 60s and 70s soul pop classics.
I had the privilege of listening to a demo of the band. It's like taking a deep inhale over a fresh turd.
Gene doesn't like it.
I don't think he likes it.
Okay. So it is the 60s and 70s soul pop classics by, in the past, he's done by the Jackson 5. The Isley Brothers, the Delphonics, and the Temptations, the Miracles. You destroyed Nick. You destroyed Nick. He can't take it. Al Green.
I didn't see the review going in that direction.
No, you would think he would be supportive.
Yeah, I thought he was going to
support his team. Nope. Bandmate.
Turns out it was a turd.
The Stylistics and the Spinners, among others. Soul Station also features Kiss drummer Eric Singer. There's no word on whether the new tracks will be studio takes of the band's live repertoire.
The word is actually it's good stuff. You know, that my friend Dwayne, who is also my trainer, is a huge fan, Kiss fan. And
is it Kiss-like at all? Or is
No. Yeah, it's totally more, it's really musician-driven and very, soulful. Mm.
So there's no word on whether new tracks will be studio takes the band's live repertoire or possibly new material written by with an R&B vibe. So remains to be seen. That's all I have for you in music news. And we shall take one more break.
Yeah, man.
One more break before we wrap it up. We are going to give away the Word of the Week prize this week, too. So don't stray too far, especially if you've been keeping track of those letters. Pierre will be next as well. We'll return momentarily.
MMR's Day Off on the Slopes at Jack Frost Mountain is Friday, January 4th. Celebrate winter with the best lift ticket deal out there, along with the Pierre Robert live broadcast and a legendary happy hour with Jackson, live from the E2000 Lounge. MMR VIPs, you still have time to save money. Lift tickets are now just $20, but available only until supplies last or until noon on January 2nd. WMMR.com has the details. MMR's Day Off on the Slopes. Sip, ski, and be merry. Friday, January 4th at Jack Frost Mountain from JFBB, where the snow comes first, and 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks. Another birthday song for Chuck D'Amico from R.E.M. He hates R.E.M.
Do you know what his full name is?
Chuck?
Chuck Stipe D'Amico.
What? No.
There's something deep hatred in there. He's always disliked that middle name, and that's what killed it for him. I had no idea. All right, it's about 10:45, the Preston and Steve radio program. We'll get to the letter of the day and all that stuff in a moment, but I need to mention that we have one of our interns saying goodbye.
What in the hell?
It's Georgie's last day.
Oh, man.
Georgie, that is not right.
Come on in here.
Get in
here. Hey there, Georgie girl.
Yep, come on. Hey there. Georgie girl, swinging down the street so fancy free. Life is a reality.
Okay.
I don't know that song.
You guys don't know that song?
No.
That's a great song.
It is a great song.
I enjoyed you guys doing it, though.
Who did that song?
I think that was Hendrix. No, who did that? The First Edition?
There, Georgie girl.
Has anybody,
yeah. Georgie, ever heard that song?
All the time.
Of course, you know it. Yeah. When you have a name, even if it's an obscure song, you know that song. Most definitely. Sure. Well, we always like to open up the mic to anybody who's been spending some time here helping us out over the past several months and say thank you, first of all. How long have you been with us? When did you start here?
I started in May.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And where are you currently going to school?
I go to Villanova.
Villanova.
Yeah.
Nice. When do you graduate?
In May. One more semester to go.
Okay.
So when you first got here about 3 days after you got a cold, and I think you're just finally over it now, right? Like last week?
Yeah. I've literally had a cold since I started.
It's like, that's the longest cold in here, but you kept coming in. Yeah.
What, and you've been rooting me on the whole time, Steve.
I'd like to encourage you.
What's your major? What are you graduating? What kind of degree?
Communications and media production.
Okay, that's cool. So you're in the right spot here. Did you pick up some things while you were here?
Oh, yeah, definitely. This was an awesome experience.
Nice. Yeah. What are you hoping to do?
I'm hoping to move out to California, and then from there, I want to work with like television shows or produce movies, something along those lines.
Okay.
Not exactly sure yet.
That's cool. There's all sorts of media stuff, obviously, out there. There's no shortage.
What do your mom and dad think about you wanting to head out to California?
They're not too happy about that. They're kind of just starting to accept the fact that I'm like actually serious about it.
Yeah.
They thought I was joking for like a year or so, and I was like, no, like I'm actually doing that.
So do you want to be behind the camera, in front of the camera?
I think behind.
Okay.
Yeah. How about to the side of?
Yeah,
there are.
But there are a ton of jobs out there in California for that kind of work. So, and it's not a bad career choice to go and do that. Now, a lot of people go out there to be superstars or movie stars or whatever, and those jobs are a little bit fewer and further.
That, obviously, because you have the world heading there, and you have the focus for that. But also remember that here there's a thriving film industry that's really picking up steam, and there's a lot of. Always a lot of media here that now that I think the various promotional companies and movie companies have realized
Philadelphia is a solid location and destination.
Definitely. Yeah, and it's a great city. Getting but LA is pretty freaking
cool. Yeah,
it's pretty nice here. Anything stand out as a cool moment that happened during your time here?
Oh, wow. Or? I mean, there's been a bunch of stuff. I think Camp Out was definitely my favorite. That was really, really cool.
You were there a lot during Camp Out too. Like you would do the morning show with us, but then you'd stick around and help out in the evening. Which
I mean,
great.
I tried to come as much as I could because it was so cool. I loved it.
Yeah. You probably took. In fact, if you had your picture taken with us at the camp out most evenings, you were the one taking the pictures.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And we always ask who's your favorite person on the show.
Oh, wow.
That includes everybody.
It's tough.
I mean, I'd have to say Marissa. Marissa's like literally Superwoman. It's crazy. It's crazy how much she does. She like literally is awesome. Nice. But I mean, everybody was my favorite. I do have to shout out Casey, though, because we're both from Delco.
Yeah, buddy.
No, but I mean, everybody was awesome.
Cool. Nice. Well, good luck to you, and thank you so much for helping us out.
Thank you for having me.
Seriously,
this was awesome.
Georgia girl.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Another one headed off, which means we'll be meeting new people in the very near future.
People that will replace us in our heart and our mind.
She had never heard of Georgie Porgie Puddin' Pie.
That's the other obvious
thing. There you go, yeah.
Georgie Porgie Puddin' Pie, kiss the girls and made them cry. When the boys went out to play, Georgie Porgie ran away.
I thought it was pumpkin pie.
Georgie Porgie Puddin' Pie.
Batman stunk.
Georgie Porgie Pumpkin Pie? No, I've never heard that one before. Anyway.
Well,
Joker got away.
What was the Christmas song, Nick, that I learned the lyrics to yesterday?
Oh, man. I completely forget. But it was
one of the songs that...
Feliz Navidad?
Kim, right?
Yeah.
Kim sang.
It was lyrics that everybody knows that were brand new to Kathy.
It's not... I forget.
I know.
Casey, you was there audio to play from this thing you guys made? Or?
Yeah. So me and Kyle decided to do just a little bit of a duet. And, to tell you the truth, I don't want to play it on the air. We have the audio.
What?
But go to our social media and there, because we took a video of it as well.
Okay.
I think maybe the video might hold up a little
bit.
I don't know. Casey just came in and said, we made this thing. And I was like, I haven't seen anything.
Oh, Kyle wants to... You know, well, let's just feature Kyle then, all right? Because I'm not really happy with how
I shot someone.
I sounded.
I need to leave the country. I need you to watch Cool.
We could play just a little bit of Kyle. You know, so
now I'm getting scared.
Wait, this was supposed to be for on air, but you don't like the way you sound, so now you're not playing it.
All right, fine, just play it.
Okay, is it? Oh, here we go.
So a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away.
Is that you?
This is Kyle. Here we are in the olden days. Happy golden days of your faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years we all will be together if the fates alive. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough.
That's Kathy.
And have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
I don't know
why you wouldn't want to play that.
Exactly. He was worried about him sounding mad.
You're good.
Thank you.
When we were at the Christmas Miracle yesterday, before we go on the air, we mic check. So we put our headphones on and we test our microphones. Test 1, 2, 3. Hey. And all of a sudden, I couldn't see Kathy, and I just hear this 1, 2, 3, 4. I was like, oh, I thought there. It was Rodney.
He popped his head up. He was like, whose mic is that?
She's had congestion issues for a couple days.
Listen, extra low in my tone. So
it's like the other day, that became the promo with the 20. What number do you want, Kathy?
20. It's hard for me.
I love that. And there's a video accompanying
that. There's a video
accompanying
that.
That's what I want to see. Chuck D'Amico just stepped up to the microphone and had birthday boy.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Hey. Birthday, buddy.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah. This has been a great show today, and it's not because it's just my birthday.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
I mean, I hate to make things about me, you know, but I love it when you guys make things about me.
Yeah. Understood.
Even Jesus said the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Even that R.E.M. song.
Yeah, R.E.M. But I missed the Triumph. Can you play it again? But Weston loves it.
He hates Triumph.
I don't get that.
Joking around about it, about how, you know, he'd rather hear the Pituation song. I'm like, I didn't even acknowledge it.
Well, he's a Buffalo guy, and I thought, you know, he would like them more because they were more successful in the northern states.
Yeah.
They're also a power trio of straight-ahead good rock.
And positive message.
About
positive?
Also listening to the radio. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I know. Right. I don't get that guy.
Anyway.
But the Michael Stipe thing, I mentioned it to you the other day. He completely stole my money one night, and I've never forgiven him.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. And you know what I just realized before I told you that, too, is I probably didn't even pay for those tickets. and I'm still that bitter. Yeah.
Listen, Chuck went to a bad show, and it ruined it. It ruined the band for him.
So. All it takes is one bad show.
It can do it. Well, sorry to hear that. Pierre.
Why, hi.
Hey,
hi.
Man. You were staring intently at something. I didn't know if you were...
Space.
Oh, space. But that was
space.
I bet I could touch that planet.
Just look at my hat.
It says
Crumb Bomb.
Where did you get that hat?
My nephew gave it to me.
That's fantastic.
There's some cool store down in South Philly he found it in. And
is your nephew Frank Rizzo?
He doesn't even know. He's from California. He's going to school here. He's going to college here. He doesn't even know the crumb bum thing. He goes, I'm going to get that for Uncle P.
That is great.
Oh, that's nuts. I think we're the ones that made that kind of famous.
Well, yeah,
because
I mean,
we played it so much.
He says it. South Fellini. That's the name of the place.
South Fellini. We'll have to check that out.
And which is a great... Great last name, the movie director. It's very Fellini. It's South Fellini, in fact. You know, it's got the No One Likes Us that the big bear guy did. And
Jason Kelsey.
Yeah, him. Yeah. He's like a Game of Thrones guy. They have really cool things in there. Anyway.
So. Wow. Okay, cool, man. Nice. Should we do the letter of the day?
Yes.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter...
L is in loud.
All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take caller one. I never take caller one.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Caller number one, 215-263-WMMR. You need to know the word of the week. Give us a call right now. First caller may win if you know it. What's up, man? What do you just hear mumbling and shaking your head? Oh.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Hey. He just put his headphones on. Welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Pierre has joined the broadcast.
It's nice to be anywhere.
Yeah.
That's what... anyway, let's move on.
That's what Hitler said.
I want to invite... today's your last program, but I want to invite people to stay tuned for my program because we'll have some cool things on there. Trans-Siberian Orchestra is doing their annual visit to Philadelphia this evening. I think there are two shows. This thing is so huge that they have two full touring orchestras, one that takes the right side of the country, one that takes the left side of the country, and they're so popular they do oftentimes two shows in a day at a big sports arena.
You can try to refuse or not like, and they'll get you. I mean, the show is a spectacle, you know?
I went one time, and they all have long hair, but the audience knows all these players.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And they were roaring as if, you know, Robert Plant and the Beatles were coming out or something. I mean, every new guy that would come out, I mean, new to me, and they'd do these really big guitar solos and swinging their hair around and the whole orchestral sound to the Christmas thing. So
that's cool.
We'll do a workforce block of TSO. not E-L-O, but T-S-O. And we'll do a block of the legendary Baru Review, the wonderful band from this wonderful city that has their annual Christmas benefit tonight, which I will host. And I encourage folks to head out to the Ardmore Music Hall. A few tickets remain. It's pretty full. It's a benefit for City Team Ministries. And ardmoremusic.com is
he's,
where you
he's
get...
ringing jingle bells.
Oh,
I was like, what the hell is that noise?
Yeah.
Where's the headphones?
Yeah. Where's that sound coming from?
Where's that sound coming from?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Where is it coming from?
Where's that sound coming from?
It's a great...
There's nothing on here.
I love that.
What the f***? The f*** is that? What the f*** is this?
That was all from one rant, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's on a couple of different pages, but I can get to it pretty quick.
Anyway, so we'll get to a block of Baru Review and encourage folks to come out tonight to Ardmore Music Hall. The Christmas pageant is just hysterical. It's great fun. It's great rock and roll. It's a great show and a great cause of benefit tonight. And we will also do our traditional Christmas block. And all sorts of good things will be in it. And in addition to that, I thought we would start our coffee breakout. There are all these great covers. Mashups, I guess you could say.
Yes.
Like there's the Bob Rivers Comedy Group, which does a great mashup, I Am Santa Claus. Iron Man is what that's a takeoff on.
Walking around in women's underwear, he does that as well.
That's
Bob Rivers, yeah.
Yeah, okay. He also does this great take on Jermaker from Led Zeppelin. And he calls Slaymaker or something.
Called Sled Zeppelin.
Sled Zeppelin. Right. Love it.
So anyway, I thought we'd open a coffee break in just a moment. We come right back with some side-by-sides of the tribute, if you will, and then the original. So
cool.
We'll start that up. So it's going to be a fun day.
I didn't know until yesterday, Pierre, and I heard you talking about it, that you are on New Year's Eve going to replay your 50th birthday show on New Year's Eve day, right?
Right. Bill came up with this idea. We'll also be on Christmas Eve day, by the way, for the traditional Christmas Eve show. So,
which is great.
Honest, that's Monday.
Always great, and I always listen.
Thank you, sir. But then New Year's Eve, because many of us are off during that week, on the 31st, to completely put the bow on the wonderful present of this 50th anniversary year, we're going to replay my entire 11-hour show from April 29th, and that was the 50th birthday of the station. And I came on at 10 o'clock, and I left at 9 p.m. You stopped by, didn't you?
I think I did,
Jackson stopped by, you stopped by.
Yeah.
It was cool. So we're going to all the songs I don't know, Pancake had a lot of work to do to put this together, but we taped the whole thing, and a lot of people wanted a podcast of it, and it's difficult to do podcasts of my kind of radio show because there's so much music in it.
Yes.
And you have to pay for the licensing or however that works, so most podcasts don't have known music for that reason in it. So instead of that, as a little treat, we will rerun the whole thing, and there'll be a prize for anyone that can sit through all the way through it.
Nice.
But I'm very proud of it. I think it's one of my best shows I've ever done. So
wonderful.
I hope that people can listen on New Year's Eve day Christmas Eve day.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Pierre. Let's give away this prize. I'm going to go over to caller number one, and it's Lynn. Hi, Lynn. You're on the air.
Hello.
All right, Lynn, do you know the word of the week?
I do. It is angel.
Ho, ho, ho! Yeah!
That's correct, Lynn.
Ho, ho, ho!
We have a custom Aquaman Xbox One X console from WB Pictures DC and Microsoft. There were only 25 of these made, so it's super duper exclusive, and it is just for you.
Actually, it's just for my husband.
Congratulations. Make sure you give him some love from us. We appreciate it, Lynn. Hang on the line. We'll get your information. Don't forget to see Aquaman in theaters today. By the way, so that is pretty much it for the whole thing. I'm going to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve program has been brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, 2007 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. And also Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas, JFBB, where the snow comes first. We generally take off the last portion of the year after this broadcast. We'll be off next week, and we will return after the first of the year. So I know we're excited to get in a little bit of rest, but we want to thank each and every one of you for this past year and how wonderful it is. And then all the years, of course, but usually at the end of your year, you generally reflect on this past year.
Yeah.
And it's been a fun one. We've done a lot of really cool things. We've met a lot of cool people and just had a good time, man.
We get our gift every day, though, of sharing time with you and having you be a part of the whole experience and giving us friendships and moments and a livelihood here in Philadelphia, and it's never lost on us, and we want you and your family to have the best holidays ever.
Yep. Anybody want to add anything before we wrap up? Casey, do you want to say something? Or
thank you. Thank you for another great year.
All right.
You, Preston, you, Nick, you, Kathy, you, Steve,
thank
Pierre,
you.
Chuck, Marissa, all the interns, even Bill Weston.
And little tiny Tim.
And little tiny Tim. God bless us, everyone.
I learned a new phrase this year, which is choose kind. It's from the book Wonder, and I think it's appropriate, and it's especially appropriate this time of year. So I would encourage everyone to choose kind, and I love all of you guys.
Mm-hmm. And start drinking now.
Yes. Still time to get free shipping, too, right, Kevin?
No, you know what? A lot of the free shipping ended.
Oh, my God.
I know, except on Amazon if you're a Prime member. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you all for listening. We love you.
And
all
Nick
right.
Murphy, too.
And Nick Murphy, of course.
Everybody, yes, of course. Now I feel like a terrible
God bless
human
us,
being.
Nick
no,
Murray.
No, no. All right, the true contempt for Nick Murphy comes out at the end of the year.
Marissa, you want to say anything? She's the only one we didn't hear from, and she's on the other side
and
of the
Marissa.
Glass.
Where's my vodka? No, I love you guys. I love this job. I love everybody that we get to meet every single day, whether it's here in the station or at an appearance or at an awesome event we do like Camp Out or Christmas Miracle or the millions of things we've done. It's so much fun. And this year we got to celebrate a world championship with the Eagles. So go Birds.
Yes.
Wasn't that a fun day when we were all down there
oh my God.
At that condo watching
yeah.
the parade?
It was a real good time.
I mean, it was a great sense of unity with all of us in the condo. There's a picture somewhere of all of us out on the deck, but certainly the city as well. But, you know, as the station wraps up its 50th anniversary year, there's so much history here, but you guys are such an important part of that. So,
oh, thank you.
You're always
no
you're,
more so than you.
Yeah, but you guys always reflect it right back to the audience, which is lovely and kind. But on behalf of the audience, I am slapping it at you like a pie in your face, and you can't send it back.
All right,
you just gotta get it and lick
laugh it
frosting, and let the whipped cream go where it goes, and enjoy the. I'm going to get more in trouble as I go.
Great.
Just
oh,
receive.
And then Peter North came in the room.
I love it.
Oh,
receive
goodness.
The love.
God bless
Merry
us
Christmas.
Everyone.
All right. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a wonderful holiday season, and we'll see you after the first year. And we'll leave you with this little moment that we always do from Charlie Brown Christmas. Bye-bye, guys. We love you.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. My birthday's on Christmas. Happy birthday to me.
Next message.
I'm drunk on a Christmas beer, watching Elf, and wrapping Christmas presents. And all I have to say is, ooh, Francisco, that's fun to say. Merry Christmas, you filthy animals.
Next message.
I want tickets to the MM Barbecue because guess what? I need the number to the Love You, Hate You line. Yeah.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.